Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today's Tuesday. It's August 18th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, an hours-long standoff in Delaware County where a man on a roof with a cinder block tied around his neck doused himself in gasoline as homes burned next door has come to an end, police said. He was taken into custody at 3 a.m. Tuesday. First responders wheeled the man away after a nearly five-hour-long standoff in the area of Delmar Drive and Windsor Avenue in Falcroft. The man was last seen on the roof with a rope and a cinder block tied around his neck.
Jeez.
He could be heard swearing while pacing back and forth.
There's no need to curse.
Falcroft, please.
I mean, some civility,
yeah,
please.
Kids in the area.
Falcroft Police Chief Bill Blair said the man is possibly in his mid-30s. He said that the incident started as a fire call at about 10 p.m. on Monday. Firefighters were able to put out the flames, but then officers saw the man in the back on the roof. The chief said the fire started up again while police were trying to get the man off of the roof. Officers laid an airbag on the ground in case he decided to jump. The SWAT unit managed to use beanbag rounds to knock the man down after hours of negotiating. At least one home burned and others suffered water damage, according to officials. Bear said firefighters had to deal with trying to lower high levels of carbon monoxide in neighboring homes because of the smoke after the fire.
I think it takes some sort of patience to be one of these people that tries to negotiate.
Oh, yeah.
After 5 hours, just sure. Jump.
Yeah. Oh, my God. After 5 minutes, I'd be like, you know what? I'm done with this guy.
Oh, my
I gotta
God.
Go.
Yeah.
That's why they train these people.
It's like Best in Show, Preston.
I was, I will gouge rear high out with this thumb. I swear to God. I'm watching the footage of this guy, and clearly he's got some, some mental issues,
right.
But
yeah.
I couldn't help but think about the movie Old School, where they're all standing on the roof,
tied to their
cinder
junk.
Block tied to their nuts.
That's
a risky proposition.
Chief Barris said a slew of charges, including arson, are pending against the man. The man will also need to undergo a mental evaluation. City officials have told homeless people in two encampments in Philadelphia, one of them on the Ben Franklin Parkway, to leave by Tuesday morning, saying they believe further negotiations with encampment leaders would be fruitless. The city posted a notice Monday saying people at the Parkway and Ridge Avenue encampments need to pack up and leave by 9 a.m. on Tuesday. The tent encampment on a baseball field on the Parkway, which began on June 10th and grew to an estimated 100 to 150 people, was originally slated to close on July 10th, but Mayor Jim Kenney postponed the actions in hopes of reaching a resolution. Kenney said Monday, however, after weeks of face-to-face discussions, he had concluded that further negotiations would do no good. He said the encampment leaders' demands kept shifting and some of their demands are out of the city's control or unachievable in the time that they demand. So they need to be out today by 9 a.m. Up to 300 Pizza Hut restaurants will be closed. Most of them dine-in locations not well suited for carryout and delivery at a time when millions of people are sheltering and eating at home. Pizza sales have exploded during the pandemic. Domino's last month reported 30% spike in quarterly profits. On Monday, it said that it was hiring more than 20,000 people to handle surging orders. Franchisee NPC International said Monday in documents filed in bankruptcy court that it had come to an agreement with Pizza Hut to close hundreds of locations. NPC will also be putting the remaining 927 Pizza Hut locations up for sale. The franchisee, which also operates nearly 400 Wendy's restaurants, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in early July. In sports this morning... The Sixers lost to the Boston Celtics 109-101 in Game 1 of their first-round series in the NBA playoffs last night. Jason Tatum had career playoff highs of 32 points and 13 rebounds. Joel Embiid had 26 points and 16 rebounds. And Josh Richardson and Alec Burks added 18 points for the Sixers, who couldn't hold on to the lead in the fourth quarter. Game 2 is tomorrow night, and tip-off is scheduled for 6:30. The Flyers, who lead their first-round series against the Montreal Canadiens 2-1, are back in action this afternoon with Game 4 in Toronto tomorrow, the puck is set to drop at 3 o'clock. Coming off their three-game sweep of the New York Mets, the Phillies had a rare day off yesterday and are back in action tonight with a game at Fenway Park against the Boston Red Sox. Zach Eflin will get the start for the Phillies. Game time is set for 7:30. And the Eagles returned to the NovaCare Center for the first padded practice of training camp yesterday. Unfortunately, defensive linemen Jason Hargrave and Derek Barnett are both out indefinitely with injuries. Hargrave is listed as out for multiple weeks with an upper body injury, which could include the scheduled season opener on September 13th in Washington. Barnett, the fourth-year defensive end, is listed by the team as week-to-week with a lower body injury. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. And look, the family's all back together again in full force. It's a wonderful thing. Welcome back. We had some staggered vacations, but now we are here together.
Yeah.
And one big bundle of love. And Kathy has had her sex change operation.
Yes, she has.
No, so her voice is noted.
What do you mean?
Noticeably just, lower.
Just don't even worry about Matthew. Just point to me, hand me the lines, and I can go with it. Yeah.
Got like a sinus infection or something?
Yeah, I think it's like a bad summer cold and turned into a sinus infection, and super fun.
Isn't it, though? It's been a couple of years, I think, since I've had that summer cold. That summer cold sucks, man.
They're horrible, especially since, obviously the drive is to get out and enjoy the summer, and you can't do anything and you feel like crap.
And
so
it came on like
right at the beginning?
I was fine the night before, woke up two mornings ago, and was like dead to the world. I'm like, just happened overnight?
Well, hang in there, young buck. We've got some stuff to get to.
That's right. I am a young buck.
You are.
You're actually a dog.
Thank you, Preston.
Good to be back. Bring in your step. All right. So we do have some things going on. We're going to start with our Word of the Week prize. Obviously, a short week for us this week. We're off on Monday. We have a Mermaid Spirits Distillery basket with bottles of their products. And it's over $100 in distillery merch, including logo pint glasses, whiskey tasting glasses, a whole bunch of other stuff. So anyhow, it's a boozer's delight, so we'll give that away on Friday. You need a letter of the day for the Word of the Week. We will give that to you at the end of today's program. We also have a Tattoozday. Yes, that has returned.
What the hell? Yeah.
That is correct.
So
great. We have a chance for you to win a 350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And it's a pretty cool deal. You just text the word tattoo to 39333, and you might randomly be chosen for this $350 gift certificate to go out and get yourself some ink.
That's that tattoo shop in Sky City, Preston.
Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. That is absolutely correct. You can check them on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos, and they are at 29 South Street in Philadelphia. So we have that to give away today, and tonight the Struts are doing the live-in, drive-in, Citizens Bank Park. We will recap our event on Sunday night with Bert Kreischer. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, at some point.
Absolutely.
But rest assured, they know what they're doing, man. It's awesome. We had a great time.
You're going to have a freaking wonderful time.
So this morning, we will have three separate opportunities. I'm going to spread it out a little bit. So we have a nice opportunity for people to win throughout the course of the morning a carload of tickets. So it's four people per car. So you and three friends get to go. Now, the show is tonight, mind you. So just keep that in mind as we go through. Tickets are on sale now, and you can do them. You can get them at phillies.com/drive-in. So that's what you want to do to get. Or you can go to WMMR.com, and we'll have a link right there because our good friends, the Struts, are playing the show tonight. And the weather's going to be great.
Oh, if you have a friend with a convertible, yes.
Oh, convertible or truck?
Truck, yes.
You got it. You have the perfect setup for this. But we can attest that that it's a great experience. So we'll have your chance to win that three times during the program. Like I said, I will spread those out. And our friends from Dietz and Watson are stopping by today, so we'll make mention of that as well. So we have a lot going on as we get started on this Tuesday morning. Let's take a break, come back. We'll do the entertainment thing. You know how it works. So stay put. We will be back in just a moment as the sun is coming up. Preston and Steve Show.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the stupid question prize, 24-karat dipped gold rose from Steven Singer Jewelers is what we will give away. And Flyers playing today as playoff hockey continues. And I had a gentleman named John Hopkins, his name.
Oh.
Like John Hopkins University.
The hospital, yeah.
Or hospital, yeah. Had sent me some Flyers trivia questions.
Interesting. Okay, yeah.
So I'll throw them out there every now and then. So I'm going to go with this. So the Broad Street Bullies, the name. Give me the newspaper where they debuted that name.
All right.
215-263 WMMR was given in the 1972-73 Flyers by Jack Chevalier. Is that how you say that, Nick? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And Peter Capone. So what was the name of the newspaper where they debuted that name? 215-263 WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. And I will go through some birthdays, a whole bunch of them today, as we get ready for your answer. And let's see. Today is Tuesday, August 18th. Rosalind Carter, the former first lady, is 93 years old today.
93?
Yep.
Husband has gone through, Jimmy has gone through
brain surgery. Yeah.
Keeps going. I mean, peanuts. And, eat peanuts, man.
And still, like, goes out with the Habitat for Humanity and literally hammers nails and does all that stuff.
Rosalind said they bang twice a night.
Holy.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Peanuts and constant sex.
Man. All right. Rosalind Carter is 93. Dennis Leary is 63 years old today. He just signed a big deal recently.
He did. He's doing a whole bunch of series. Who is he producing for? I forget who, but he's got a number of series in the works.
Yeah, yeah.
He's becoming a bit of a mogul.
Martin Mull, the actor and comedian, is 77 years old today.
He was in the movie FM.
He was. Okay. Yeah. Okay. DJs. Thank God.
I was wondering why we were playing this.
Why a little Steely Dan this morning.
Yeah.
He was in a lot of great stuff. Mr. Mom, Clue. Was he SCTV?
No, he was Fernwood Tonight.
Okay.
And he was with Fred Willard. So Fred Willard was his Ed McMahon on that series. And he's that movie Serial, though, if you haven't seen that in a long while, it's hilarious.
He's 77 today. Edward Norton, the actor, is 51 years old today. Everything from Fight Club and Red Dragon, The Hulk.
I watched that movie that he directed. Brooklyn something? Where he has Tourette's. He's a private detective with Tourette's.
Okay, and?
It's not anything that good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
American History X. Outstanding.
Unbelievable.
Movie. Yeah.
A great party movie.
Wonderful. Put it on.
Nazi party.
Watch the laughs.
Yeah.
Robert Redford.
Hey.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
He's 84.
I had to double check. He's alive, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Robert Redford.
He hopes so.
84 years old today.
He was one of the actors. My grandmother suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's when she was at the end of her life. And every time my mom would walk, she lived with us. So my mom would walk in and check on her and all that. And every time my mom walked in, she'd go, oh, it's Robert Redford.
About your mom?
My mom.
Your mom does sort of look like Robert Redford. When I first saw your mother, I thought, oh, my God, it's Jeremiah Johnson.
There were a couple. Robert Redford was one of them.
Very interesting. Okay. Well, at least she was fixated on a gorgeous hunk of a man.
Yeah, your mom makes a beautiful man.
Robert Redford is 84. Christian Slater, like Edward Norton, turns 51 years old today.
There's been a show on, maybe it's Me Too or Me TV, Steve, lately. It's a movie, and it's him. He's dressed up like as a skater from the 90s, and Joe Pesci is wearing this long blonde wig. Does that ring a bell with anybody at all? I can't figure out what it is.
Is it a movie or a series?
I'm sorry. I think I said show, but it's a movie.
Okay.
And I keep floating past it.
Is it the Edgar Winter story?
No, it's not Edgar Winter, but it's really bizarre, and I just haven't gotten around to looking up what it
actually is.
No,
that doesn't ring a bell. I want to see this movie, though.
It's really weird looking.
Christian Slater, 51 today. Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Oh!
Who played?
Theo! Theo, listen, can you make me a cake with a file in it? Don't ask any questions. Can't even get out for Kobe!
He could cook him a file in a burger
dog, right?
A bacon burger dog.
Bacon burger dog. He turns 50 years old today.
50.
I always liked Malcolm Jamal Warner on that show. He's one of my favorite characters on that show. And I really don't know, acting-wise, much what he did after Cosby. I'd have to look up his IMDb. I'm sure
he's done
still
some
works.
Stuff. Yeah. Is it possible he could have made enough money off the Cosby series?
Oh, I don't know.
To not have to work.
Not sure. So happy 50th to him today. Frances Bean Cobain. Daughter of Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain. She is 28 today.
An oddly together person. Like, with all the volatility in her life, she just had a relationships break up and stuff like that, and that makes the news. But for the most part, she seems to be doing well.
Bob Woodruff, the anchorman journalist wounded in Iraq, is 59 today.
Yeah, he's got that show with his son Max on Netflix. Steve, did you... I know you had come across it. Did you end up watching any
of it?
I did not
watch it. I've been watching this series with Joe Pesci and a blonde wig.
it's called Jimmy Hollywood. I looked it up.
Oh, finally. Jimmy. Yes, I do remember it now, Nick. Yes.
He's a failing actor, and he turns into like a detective or
you
whatever.
You know what's funny, Nick, is I see a text message that says, "Yo, Nick, Jimmy Hollywood." I thought they were calling you Jimmy Hollywood because you had this story.
What's up, Jimmy Hollywood?
Hey, Jimmy Hollywood.
Look at you over there. Oh, well, he did live in L.A. for a little.
It's my new nickname.
Working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Hey, Jimmy Hollywood.
What's up, Jimmy Hollywood?
I've never heard of that movie.
I remember when it came out. It suffice to say it was a huge bomb. Mm.
Barry Levinson was the director. Holy crap.
Well, Bob Woodruff is 59 today. Andy Samberg, SNL, and...
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. Yep.
And Lonely
Palm
Island.
Palm Springs.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I believe in some way, I think he's one of the producers on the new MacGruber series.
They actually did some... the Lonely Island guys did these Preston and Steve sweepers for us. Casey, can you see in front of this? Sweepers are these production elements that we use, radio stations use, like in between songs or to establish a radio show or a radio station. So we call them in the industry sweepers.
This was for Never Stop, Never Stopping, right?
Yes.
And they came in for an interview, and they had pre-recorded these things for us, which was...
Yeah.
We didn't ask them
That's
to do
the
it.
Way they you do it.
So you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
You're hanging with Preston and Steve, the two wildest DJs in Philadelphia.
All right, so that was one of them. That was kind of a straight one. They wanted to play a few of them for us. So I don't know if Andy came up with these himself or not, but...
Now, who knows?
Yeah.
You're hanging with Preston and Steve, the two tallest DJs in Philadelphia.
All right, and Ben?
You're hanging with Preston and Steve, the two tannest DJs in Philadelphia.
All right, and then?
You're hanging with Preston and Steve, the two fattest DJs in Philadelphia.
All right. Hold on.
You're hanging with Preston, the coolest DJ in Philadelphia.
And Steve. And then the last one.
All right.
You're hanging with
Preston.
And Steve, the most charming and promiscuous man in Philadelphia. Guard your women. He's known to mix Viagra and cocaine. But don't worry, ladies. He's got a defibrillator in his backpack.
Courtesy of Andy Samberg, the birthday boy.
Yeah, love it.
And his buddies of the Lonely Island. So happy 42nd. And then the last birthday I saw, I saved this one for last. The very wonderful, talented, beautiful, and awesome Caitlin Olsen.
Oh!
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And she is 45 years old today. So happy birthday.
I spend so much... Actually, I'm embarrassed to say how much downtime I spend watching It's Always Sunny blooper reels from all the seasons. It's some of the funniest stuff, and her outtakes are fantastic.
She is fantastic. Happy birthday to everybody. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning, and it is a Flyers-related question.
What's happening over there?
I'm knocking papers over. All right, so the Broad Street Bullies. Give us the name of the newspaper where they debuted that name, 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to. It says here, Kevin G. on the line. Yo, Kevin G.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell me the name of the paper where the Broad Street Bully's name was first released.
The Philadelphia Bulletin.
Philadelphia Bulletin is correct.
Today in the Philadelphia Bulletin.
Hang on, Kevin. We're going to set you up with a 24-karat gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. Steven Singer Jewelers showroom at the other corner of 8th and Walnut is now open for appointments only. And you can go to IHateStevenSinger.com to book your appointment today. All right, let's get into some of the stories. We're going to start with a one on the heavier side.
Oh, damn it.
Rose McGowan accused Oscar-winning writer and director Alexander Payne of sexual misconduct. The 46-year-old said that the incident went down when she was 15 years old, and he was in his 20s. She had tweeted this out. She wrote, Alexander Payne, you sat me down and played a softcore porn movie you directed for Showtime under a different name. I still remember your apartment in Silver Lake. You are very well endowed. You left me on a street corner afterwards. I was 15. And then she followed that up writing, I just want an acknowledgement and an apology I do not want to destroy. Now, this appears to match the incident she alluded to during February of 2018 in a conversation with Ronan Farrow, one of the journalists who helped bring multiple assault allegations against Hollywood stars to light. She had said, you told me, or I'm sorry, he was saying to her in the interview, Ronan Farrow was, you told me that even before, long before Harvey Weinstein's incident, you recounted to me that there was a statutory rape by a prominent man in Hollywood. And she said, yes, and I didn't process that until, and then she paused and said, well, I'll get to him. And she didn't name the man at the time.
Huh.
She did say, though, he took me home after he met me and showed me a soft porn movie he had made for Showtime under a different name, of course. And then he had sex with me. She said, and then he left me next to Tropical in Silver Lake standing on a street corner. McGowan, as many will recall, was one of the first, most vocal in the Me Too movement. She was also one of the first to come out with her story of rape at the hands of Harvey Weinstein, who has since been convicted and sentenced to prison for other sexual assaults and rape. So we'll see if anything comes of this.
She's been sticking with this, and she's brought a few other people along who have stories of this victimization. And so she calls it pedo world now. If you know, that's their take on it, that all these... She says it's fairly widespread, that there's this sort of underage sex traffic stuff going on in Hollywood. I'm like, wow. Because Payne, he did The Descendants. He did Nebraska. I think he did Sideways as well. He's a pretty heavy hitter.
Is weighing in on the host character following allegations that she watched over a toxic work environment. We all know that story. But the 51-year-old said in a cover story for Mr. Warburton magazine that her words should be taken with a grain of salt. She said, I haven't spoken to Ellen in years.
Did they end badly or was...
I don't remember how that wrapped up. But she said, I haven't spoken to Ellen in years. I'd listen to the people who have. Still, the Emmy winner did say that their nearly four-year relationship was, quote, a beautiful part of her life and that she wears with honor, but hinted that there might be something to the complaints. She said, if I'm standing someplace and I don't like what's going on there and I stay there, it's my fault. And she said, so what are the actions that got me there and why can't I get out of it easily if that's not something that I want to be engaged in?
Hmm.
She added that Ellen is standing where she walks and that is hers to continue that journey. So
she's standing where she walks?
I guess so.
Okay.
That doesn't make any sense. Anyhow, Ellen and her...
I just wanted to know how one would do that, unless maybe you're on one of those people movers at the airport.
She and Ellen had dated from 97 to 2000. Now, she also spoke out about the considerable price that she had paid for being open about their relationship. She was pulled out of the premiere for the movie Volcano simply for showing up with her. She said, I was told by Fox studio executives that if I brought Ellen to the premiere, my contract would be terminated.
What?
I brought Ellen despite those threats, and we were escorted out of the theater before the lights came on by security and not allowed to attend the premiere party because they did not want any photos of us together.
For the movie Volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. She had supporters, though. Harrison Ford insisted on having her co-star in 6 days, 7 nights. And he had called her on the phone to say, and she said, quote, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn who you're effing. Let's make the best romantic comedy anyone has ever seen. Alec Baldwin also demanded that she co-star on Broadway in 20th Century, in which Anne had received a 2004 Tony nomination for her role as Lily Garland.
You know, she was in this movie, and I every time I see her, I think about this movie she did with Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
We interviewed Ashton Kutcher. I defy someone to tell me that they weren't actually having sex in this movie because I don't know how you could Yeah.
Right? Did you guys see the clips?
No, I saw it was hot.
It was super hot.
Crazy hot. Yeah. Heche, by the way, who sees their openness, her and Ellen's openness at the time, as paving the way to a more acceptable environment. She said, "I'm proud to have been a part of a revolution that helped move equality forward, but there's still work to do. I've paved this way for myself, and my honesty had every single thing to do with it. I think every interaction we have should be whether or not we can look at and talk to other human beings with 100% respect.
You've got to stand where you walk.
My answer will always be yes. We have to agree that it's a possibility and that we all deserve it." And I remember at the time, and we've certainly come a long way since then, but yeah, it was scandalous. You know, I mean, it was at the time it seemed that way, that they, or it was an anomaly that they were that open
about
out.
It. Yep. It was career killing,
which is great.
Yes.
That things have progressed. So
you saw that Ellen fired three of her producers off the show, like the upper chain of the Ellen production company.
Okay.
She let three people go. So I guess she's trying to reel it back in and take control.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how much of it, you know, is... Listen, we've seen stars who seem to be really nice people
and aren't.
And they're well, but no, what I was going to say is that their handlers, their management, behind the scenes will be, you know, ruling with an iron fist.
That's true. That's true. So that they sort of do all the crap, and they there's a plausible deniability with the celebrity.
Yeah. So, but who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just stand where you walk.
Prince William and Prince Harry are pretty much incommunicado these days, according to a royal scribe.
Where's that?
According to a royal scribe named Obed Scobie.
Obed Scobie?
Omid Scobie.
That's a pretend name.
No. The pair, who have been struggling to communicate for a few years, completely cut ties with each other 2 months ago after Harry shared his plans to step down from his senior royal role on social media.
I want
media.
My son to get his ass kicked all throughout school. I'm going to name him Obed Scobie.
Omid.
Omid. Oh,
Omid Scobie.
My bad.
That's then it makes it all better.
Yes,
right?
Much
Omid
better.
Scobie. Their rift will take time to heal, Omid Scobie told the Sun. Omid Scobie co-wrote Finding Freedom with Carolyn Duran, largely sympathetic portrayal of Harry and his wife Meghan Markle's decision to move to the U.S. and leave their royal life behind. The sticking point, allegedly, is Harry's decision to go, quote, rogue and share his plans publicly without first getting approval from the family.
You know who shares a birthday with Omid Scobie?
No.
Who? Our very own Casey Foster. 4th of July birthdays.
Wow.
And Jackie
Bam. America.
And Jen America.
And Bill Burns.
Mm-hmm. meanwhile, Harry and Meghan reportedly plonked down $14.6 million for an estate in Montecito. Ooh. And the Telegraph reports that the pair could face a huge tax bill. Harry has spent 183 days in the U.S. over 3 years and officially will be considered a resident for tax purposes.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah, exactly. He'll also need to spill the beans on the details of his finances. According to this source, said the U.S. tax man is much more zealous than his U.K. counterpart, and for that reason, Harry will have to watch his step on the income that he generates.
So where is that money coming from? I know they get an allotment from the royal family, and they're taking care of a bit of the way with that, but what is the main source of their income?
Don't know. Do not know that. But speaking of income... Diageo, is this how you say it?
Diageo.
Diageo, thank you very much.
Yeah, they own everything.
Well, they're the world's largest spirits maker, and they announced that they are buying Aviation American Gin, which is co-owned by Ryan Reynolds.
Well, what's Diageo that going for?
Diageo appears to have a special affinity for Hollywood brands because they bought George Clooney, Randy Gerber, and Mike Meldman's Casamigos tequila brand for $700 million, with an additional $300 million based on performance. While Reynolds' deal falls short of the billion-dollar bet, it's still a sterling paycheck, $610 million total, depending on sales, with $335 million up front. Now, that doesn't mean that he gets all of that, I don't think.
Well, he gets a lot of it.
I would imagine he gets a chunk of it. He also retains an ownership interest.
Stop and think about this. So George Clooney's booze had been out for years before that deal had been broken. Aviation Gin... has, what, 2 years?
I don't know. I'm not sure the history of aviation.
It's relatively new.
How long it existed beforehand.
$600 million? We should create our own booze.
Reynolds said, a little over 2 years ago, I became an owner of Aviation Gym because I love the taste of aviation more than any other spirit. So I think it was around.
Okay. All right.
What I didn't expect was the sheer creative joy learning a new industry would bring. Growing the brand of my company, Maximum Effort Marketing, has been among the most fulfilling projects I've ever been involved with. I want to thank Diageo for their incredible team and passion. We're so excited for the next chapter of Aviation Gym, which I promise will require just a little reading, he said.
So what's your right now is your booze of choice?
Bourbon.
Okay, so we'll call it Pud Juice.
Pud Juice.
Pud Juice, Preston's Pud Juice Bourbon.
Okay.
That'll sell well.
Pud Juice, right. Because it's got a quirky thing, you know, it's the quirky sensibility of Pud Juice.
Yeah.
Pud Juice.
And then you sell it to Diageo. Right. For $100 million, we'll take.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take $100 million.
Yeah, and yeah. I just peel off $5 million for the name for me.
Yeah, that's fine. The news comes on the heels of reports that Johnny Walker and Smirnoff posted a yearly
profit. That's a stupid name.
Profit of half of what they made year over year thanks to COVID-related shutdown. So, but he's making a bunch of money off that deal.
Wasn't the alcohol industry on the whole up like 55% since 6 months ago?
Yeah, I'm not sure where it is now because they let's see, posted a yearly profit of half of what they made year over year thanks to COVID-related. So some are making money, some aren't.
Okay.
So Reese Witherspoon and Khloe Kardashian are among the stars who have signed on to conquer clutter in Netflix's Get Organized with the Home Edit. 8 episodes will follow master organizer Clea Shearer and Joanna Teplin to take on homes from or take home their homes from mess to yes.
Mess to yes. Uh-huh.
That's wonderful.
So who's the one who was doing it before? It was all the rage. The the other organizer.
Yes.
No, Marie Claire. Is that her name? What's her name?
Well, Kondo? there was an Asian
Marie
woman.
Kondo. Marie Kondo.
That's it.
Was that it, Nick? Talking about?
Yeah. Kondo,
I never watched it. I heard it was great. What was that called? It was
From Yes to Bless.
No, okay, never mind.
I don't know. But I know that it was super popular.
Yeah.
Tidying Up.
Tidying Up.
Was that it?
Mm-hmm. Did anybody watch it? Something else. And did you learn any organizational tips from it?
No.
It's not practical. Like, it's not, if you actually want to have things in your house, it's a good idea if you can live that way, but most people can't.
Okay.
All right, so anyhow, along with Reese Witherspoon and Khloe Kardashian will be Eva Longoria, Neil Patrick Harris, David Burtka, Jordana Brewster, a bunch of people that are going to be on for this. And the show starts
DJ Qualls?
September 9th. If he's involved, I haven't seen anything about it.
All right.
Netflix has released the first teaser for the upcoming film Enola Holmes, and that will be starring Millie Bobby Brown in the title role. And she plays the younger sister of Sherlock Holmes. The film is based on Enola Holmes Mysteries, written by Nancy Springer, which follows Enola's search for her mother, who's going to be played by Helena Bonham Carter.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I could see this.
And her mom apparently disappeared on her 16th birthday. So, yeah, they're going to she's going to star in that.
So she's the direct daughter of Sherlock Holmes.
The direct order?
She's the daughter directly of Sherlock Holmes?
No, she's sister.
Sister, oh.
Younger sister of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I misheard that. Okay.
Okay.
The question of who killed Jam Master Jay, the DJ for pioneering rap group Run DMC, has remained a mystery for nearly 18 years, but federal prosecutors yesterday afternoon announced the indictment of 2 men whom investigators have long suspected of participating in killing the DJ, whose real name was Jason Mazzell, inside a Queens recording studio. The men, Ronald Washington and Carl Jordan Jr., were charged with murder while engaged in drug trafficking in a 10-count indictment unsealed on Monday.
So they've been the focus of interest for a while, and yeah. I guess they've just been working at amassing enough evidence to prosecute them.
I think that's it. The indictment says the 2 men, together with others, did unlawfully kill Jason Mazzell, also known as Jam Master Jay. They walked in and murdered him in cold blood, is according to Seth Ducharme, who is the acting United States attorney for the case.
What reason? I mean, what was
he was involved in drugs with them.
Oh, he was?
Yes. Oh. So the case, apparently, new court papers say Mr. Washington and Mr. Jordan, both armed, broke into Mr. Mazzell's studio. As Mr. Washington forced a person in the studio to the ground, Mr. Jordan fired a bullet into Mr. Mazzell's head, killing him instantly.
Jeez.
Prosecutors claim that the 2 had executed Mr. Mazzell after he sought to exclude them from a multi-kilogram, multi-state narcotics transaction. Just months before the murder, Mr. Mazzella received about 10 kilos of cocaine on consignment.
So they were heavily into it.
From a supplier in Maryland, and they were supposed to have been his partners in the deal. Yeah.
Was there any comment from Daryl McDaniels? Or
I didn't see anything from
Reverend.
Yeah, I didn't see either one of them. Yeah, we've said before, Daryl McDaniels, one of the best interviews I think we've ever had.
And the way he turned his life around as an inspiration.
Yeah. But apparently Jam Master Jay was deep into it.
Wow.
And it, you know, it got the best of him, obviously. The iconic Golden Girls home sold for $1 million over asking price.
Oh. $1 million over asking price.
Just over $4 million.
So the house was used for the exteriors only, right?
You know what? I believe you are correct. Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, what am I talking about? I saw a freaking episode filmed in California of the Golden Girls
when
I was in my 20s. So, yeah, we didn't go to the house.
Come on in, Preston.
We actually went to a stage set.
Madge, get him something to drink.
Yeah.
All right. So is it a house? Is it a condo? Is it a townhome?
Four-bedroom home, 3,000 square foot, mid-century. And it's in Brentwood, not Miami, where the show was set.
I know. They lied to us again.
Yep. The exterior was made famous by, of course, the show. The filming took place on the soundstage. But that house, which is 3,000 square feet, and it went for, God, $5 million.
For that. So that's about, you said about 3,000 square feet?
Yeah.
I think my house is somewhere on that level.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pay that for
you. Pay $5 million for your 3,000 square foot.
You don't live in Brentwood, though, Steve.
Yeah, I know, Brentwood. I used to live in Brentwood, Long Island, which is where the Entenmann's factory
was. The same.
That house went for close to $5 million. It was only about $4 million off and $500,000 more off and another $100,000.
Our first house was around 3,000 square feet, yes. We didn't pay $5 million.
Mm-hmm. I rented a basement apartment in the house in Brentwood. I had windows. You just had to get on your tippy toes to look out them.
Let's see here. 14-year-old Shiloh inspired her mom Angelina Jolie's role in The One and Only Ivan, she tells E.T. She said, well...
Wait, was it your daughter Shiloh who inspired your interest in this role?
Jolie told E.T., well, Shiloh years ago told me that she had read a book that she loved and she wanted me to read it.
Oh, she read a book.
She said, I read it on my own and then we looked at some of it together and we talked about why she loved it. Then... I inquired if...
Did you know that Nick thought Shiloh was the name of the song from A Star Is Born? and not Shallow? Did you know that?
I maybe she knew that. I don't know. Then she said, I inquired if...
I mean, what would that even mean?
If it was...
Shut up, E.T.
I'm just saying.
If it was being made...
I mean, if you... Contextually, the lyrics wouldn't even...
I know!
Well, all right.
Yeah, so... Nick's, obviously, it's a sore point for him.
Yeah, I can see.
She said, then I...
Let me heal your pain with my finger. Drop your pants.
Then bend over. This is how we do it on this planet, by the way.
This is how we do it.
She said, then I inquired if it was being made into a film, and I found out that it was kind of in the works, but hadn't been figured out. Jolie voices an aging elephant named Stella... who is taking care of a baby elephant named Ruby.
Is this a true story?
The one and only Ivan debuts exclusively on Disney Plus, and that will be on the 21st, by the way.
I was on Disney Plus last night watching Magic Camp, and there's a whole bunch of new stuff. That to me was a good investment. Disney Plus has a ton of good stuff.
By the way, speaking of Magic Camp, we're going to have a guest on later this morning, Justin Willman, who is a magician. He's been here in our studio before. He's a comedian as well. He's done stuff at Helium Comedy Club, and... but he was one of the consultants.
He was like the lead, magic consultant, and he's featured for about 3 seconds in the beginning of the movie.
Well, I want to ask him some questions because a lot of the people are doing, the actors appear to be doing sleight of hand.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he was able to teach them to that point because they were pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk to him around 10 o'clock this morning. One last entertainment story. After Le Chef was destroyed.
That's the chef?
During an explosion that devastated Beirut on August 4th.
Oh, yeah.
Russell Crowe has stepped in to help. The restaurant was a favorite of Anthony Bourdain's, and filmmaker Amanda Bailey and journalist Richard Hall They launched a GoFundMe to help the restaurant rebuild.
It was in the blast range, Preston? Yeah. I didn't even hear about that.
Hall had tweeted, someone called Russell Crowe made a very generous donation to our Le Chef fundraiser, but not sure if it was the Russell Crowe. But it wasn't long before Crowe confirmed that it was him, saying that the donation was on behalf of Bourdain. He confirmed that it came from him in honor of Bourdain.
Do you know how close it was?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know the details on it, but wow. I know that it was a favorite of Bourdain's. All right, we are ready for the clips. Dead Pixels is a British sitcom that revolves around three friends and their obsession with a made-up role-playing video game called King of Scrolls. In this clip, Will Merrick discusses the plotline of the game. Here we go.
There's a new sort of bad guy in the game called the Hive Mother, and they're trying to save the Ninth Kingdom. That's all within the game. And then you have the lives of Nikki, Meg, and Usman, and others, and their lives playing this game and interacting with each other and having a good time.
What the hell are you talking about?
Right? As I was looking at this and reading the description... My eyes are off a little bit today because I had trouble with the word plotline. Yeah. And I almost said where Will Merrick discusses the pull team of the game. And I was going to say, what the hell?
That's French fries and gravy.
What's a pull team? No, that's poutine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But did you get the notion, Steve, as he's revealing what this show's about, that like, hey, this is kind of stupid, right?
Yeah, he's like, realizing he's like, whoever he's telling is not paying attention.
I don't really believe in this project.
This is really dumb.
What are you talking about?
It's a paycheck, all right.
Dead Pixels airs tonight at 8. That's on the CW. Here's the next clip for you. Rob Schneider returns to the stage to give his unique takes on life in his new special, Asian Mama, Mexican Kids. Mm. In this clip, Rob discusses where he looks to for inspiration for his material. Here we go.
They're changing so much because literally from the time we shot the special, now my daughter was like not really into wanting to get potty trained, and now she is. But it was a beautiful little moment in time where, like, you know, when something's happening and you want to be in the moment with your family, right? But at the same time, you go, ooh, that could be a good bit.
Thing sucks.
All right. Asian Mom, Mexican Kids is streaming now on Netflix, by the way.
I guess it's based on his own life.
I guess so. All right. And there you go. That's what I have for you in the entertainment report this morning. So a reminder, we have the return of Tattoos Day, and we have a chance to win a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. They're located at 29 South Street in Philly. And all you have to do is text the word tattoo to 39333. We're going to randomly pick somebody to win that $350 gift certificate, and you can go get yourself some ink. And by the way, you can check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoo. So do that. Get on it. Also this morning, your chance to win some tickets to see the Struts. They're playing the Live and Drive-In tonight, by the way, Citizens Bank Park. It's going to be a beautiful night for a live show. So listen up, because I'll have three pair to give away. I'm going to spread them out through the course of the morning. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay close. We don't want you to miss your chance to win and hang and have a good time on the way in on a Tuesday morning. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Well, we had a little somewhat taste of normalcy on Sunday night, being that we were able to gather for a live event. And it wasn't like things usually were, but it was certainly headed in the right direction where we were able to gather en masse and see a show safely and have a good time. It was Bert Kreischer, the Live and Drive-In series that Live Nation is putting on. And we were, you know, fortunate enough to present that show. And it was a beautiful night. It was great to see everybody out en masse, and we had a really great time.
It felt like an injection of like positivity, and we were seeing people, the Live Nation, a lot of our friends that we usually see during the barbecue, the MM barbecue, were there.
Jeff Gordon was there.
Yeah, working the event, and Preston, the morning of Sunday morning when it was raining, I'm like, okay, here's what it's going to be, I guess, and then everything turned around. It was comfortable. And the setup, their setup here, as opposed to other locations where they've done stuff like this, they went all out. That stage is elevated. The monitors, the screens are huge. The way they organized and brought these hundreds and hundreds of cars in was just so well done. Again, whatever you were expecting or whatever I was expecting was exceeded tenfold.
Yeah, the production value was really high on this. That's what we were really impressed with when we show up. The stage is top notch. We're looking at a video here in the studio. And so if you are going to say, go see the Struts tonight, by the way, we'll give away some tickets in a little bit for that show. The way they had it set up is very cool. They have all the parking spaces like you normally see there in the parking lot of Citizens Bank Park. But you park in every other spot. They have them staggered. They have them numbered. And the numbers in the spots was interesting. I thought the number would correlate to, you know, essentially where you bought your ticket and you're pulling into spot number 92 or whatever it is. But actually the numbers are next to where you're parking. They're numbered every other spot. And the reason that they're numbered that way is that you can get they serve concessions to you.
Oh.
And how they do that, I'm like, well, how the hell are they going to do this? So they have a little card that they give you as you come in, and you use your Q scanner on your phone, and it pulls up a website or whatever, and you place your order through your phone.
No kidding.
And they drive it out on a golf cart.
So think of it like that's a huge movie tavern.
Yeah.
So and you're staying there. They're bringing it to you, and they're driving it out to you on those golf carts, and you saw them zipping around and doing the whole deal.
Yep.
And it was great. Yep. And you could also buy a Bert Kreischer merchandise.
Yeah, you could buy merchandise through that as well.
Yeah.
No
kidding.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
How many cars?
They said
800.
800, yeah. So that's 800 with four people per car.
Wow.
And by the way, this was Bert's first full sellout.
Yeah.
On his tour.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so he's a Philly favorite, obviously.
Yeah.
He was pretty stoked.
He did a nice little thank you video on Instagram that I saw that I loved. You know, just and I also follow you guys on social media, so I saw everything sort of leading up to it. And then his video, which included the evening as well. Like, man, that looked amazing. And then, you know, with a show tonight with the weather, like, yeah.
You can do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty damn cool.
I was saying, honestly, and I was talking to our Live Nation friends and saying, I could see this being a possible variation on ways to do another way to add shows into the schedule. Let's say if you do something like this and you go with the right vehicle, especially in the summer, you have a convertible or a truck or something that allows you to be out and sort of relax in the open air. It would be a great way to see a show, I think, you know.
So was it only broadcast on the radios or were there speakers as well?
I think you had to have, you need to listen to your radio because while it was on, you could hear faintly from the monitors that were on the stage, but you needed to hear it through your car radio.
Okay. So when I was driving back, so they took me in a golf cart back to my car. I left a little bit early, and you could see, you could hear from all the car radios, you could hear the audio, and it was pretty loud all the way back. It was something to behold. And again, the production level they put into it, Bert was clearly thrilled with what they had done.
So they had, Steve and I were making stage announcements like 2 hours before the show started.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so we would pop up every, 15, 20 minutes or so and just welcome everybody and say, hey, here are the rules, which by the rules are, if you go to this event, if you're going to leave your car, you got to put your mask on.
Yeah.
If you leave your car, it should be only just to use the bathroom. And it was pretty easy to do. They had porta potties all over the place. But that was the only thing. As long as you stay on your car in some shape or form, you don't have to have a mask on.
Okay, so
you could literally get on the roof of the car if you wanted to and sit down. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So we had a Jeep, and we were sitting up on. We took the top off and sat on the roll cage, essentially on top of it, and it was fantastic. People who had trucks. If you got a truck, you got the best seat in the house.
The way things
you back into your spot.
Yes,
And you just sit in the bed.
But who had the? There was a couple people went down right to the left of the stage. Mm-hmm. They had a couch.
Yeah, they had couch cushions, and they had customized the back and made it great. By the way, it was pretty funny because at one point when we were up on stage, I look across, it's just an ocean of cars, and I see this gal standing up on the roof of a car, waving her hands in the air where we're talking. I'm like, hey, girl, standing on your car, what's up? Yeah, I love you. Blah 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 blah. I get a text later on. Was Marissa.
Oh, get out.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, she said she was going out into the crowd. We didn't realize it was her.
Yeah.
But from that, I mean, there were so many cars.
Yeah, I recommend my friends brought pool floats, and we blew them up and then put them on the roof of their SUV.
Perfect.
And watched it up there. It was great.
That's a great idea. Yeah, because, I didn't see that. We're looking at a picture of you. Yeah, you have pool floats that have arms and backs on them.
Yeah, exactly.
What is wild, so the cars, as they're going in, they were checking all the cars, and they... you know, they're just kind of taking a precursory check around the vehicles and just making sure you drive your vehicle is you, basically. And they're taking security checks and everything. But otherwise, they got those people in and settled up pretty nicely, pretty quickly.
All right. So tips for you, by the way, if you're going to go. You do have to leave your car, like in accessory mode or whatever it is. I had to give somebody a jump on the way out. I know Marissa did. We had some friends whose battery had run down as well. So what you might want to do is take a Bluetooth speaker with you if you can. And then you can get like a radio tuner app. And then because it's a low frequency FM signal that they had there, I think it was 97.7 and 91.9. With frequencies, and once you get off the lot, you can't hear them.
Oh.
You could hear just for, like, you know, a few hundred yards after you leave the lot, and then that's it.
Okay.
Then you can't hear it anymore. So I would definitely suggest that you do that.
Yeah, so you don't run your battery dry.
Yeah,
like, or you can listen. Gary Lauer could bring his boombox.
You can listen to part of it on your car radio and part of it on the Bluetooth. But I wouldn't do it. Now, we just got a new battery not that long ago, so I felt pretty confident. We listened the whole thing and didn't have to worry about any, you know, issues with the battery.
So what if you just start your car?
It's like, I don't know about that.
What happens when you start a car?
What happens if you just start your car?
Yeah, can you just start your car, like, every, I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes or so?
I don't know.
Okay. Throat bubbles are the bane of a broadcaster's existence.
They probably suggest you don't do that. So it depends on how loud your car is, too, so you're not annoying the people next to you, Marissa.
It also kind of ruins the experience for the people around you, because when you start it, your headlights are going to start shining at the people behind you and things like that. It happened a few times around us. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was kind of like everybody booed a little bit at those people that were starting their car.
It was wild, though. You're on stage, and it is. You can see how it's a weird thing for a performer who's used to the response, because people are in their cars or whatever, and we'd go up, and then the first time we got the response is, you know, Preston said, let's do a horn check. And then everyone started honking, and it was really cool.
Oh, that is
cool. And you'll get the occasional headlight flash and all that stuff. So
yeah. And Bert was in fine form. He gave us a big, big shout out from the stage, which I wasn't expecting. It was almost to the end of the show. It was like three quarters of the way through the show. And he goes, hey, listen, I want to thank Preston and Steve for supporting me for all these years. Like, they have been there from the beginning.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I can't thank them enough. And he gave a nod to DeBella as well, because John has always had him on his show, but he gave us a really big one.
Did people honk their horns? And
it was cool. And you're encouraged to flash your lights and not honk your horn while at the show. But you could hear people laughing and clapping and you know, responding to what he was saying, so you didn't really need to honk your horn because you could hear everybody. But it was pretty cool, man. It was a different way to see a show. One, I've never experienced anything quite like that before.
I was talking to them, and again, you know, if when everything will return to, you know, a more normal situation, this could be another way to present shows. I mean, to have your own seats, your own setup like this, and, you know, again, it's like a giant movie tavern, but it's a concert.
Yeah. And you're not supposed to bring booze.
They weren't. They weren't enforcing that.
No liquor allowed on the premises. Although they did, I will tell you this: Marissa saw they had canine units that were checking some vehicles.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, they were sniffing around the car. So I guess they're sniffing for,
I don't know, maybe explosive stuff. You never know. Listen, at public events,
you don't
these
know.
Days,
yeah.
You don't know. But I don't know exactly what they were looking for. But they were being thorough, and Philly's finest were on patrol, obviously.
So they were there, obviously, to watch out for DUIs and things like that, because that would, I think, be a concern, you know?
Oh, my God, yes. Absolutely. And you'd hate it to ruin a, you know, an event like that. So, it was cool. It was different. And the weather is going to cooperate for the Struts tonight, by the way.
I have to imagine it's going to be it's going to be fantastic.
Yep. So if you're going, good luck, and listen for a chance to win those tickets if you have not yet, a little bit later on. So a couple people back from vacay, Nick and Kathy, have returned to the studio. Kathy, did you go to the beach at all during
time
off?
I was in Montauk,
okay,
New York. We went there again, and it was just so nice. It was, you know, relaxing and a little bit different because we weren't out at restaurants and stuff like that as much as we normally did. But yeah, just a normal vacation.
What's the level of accessibility? Are the restaurants pretty much Is there partial occupancy, or what's the story?
So this was in New York, and I'm not exactly sure. I've lost track of what everybody's phase is. But most of the stuff, at least where I was anyway, was outside. Everything was outside. We didn't go in any restaurants. And, you know, they were,
designed to be that way, though, right?
But yeah. I mean, fortunately, everything is, you know, on the water there. So, most restaurants have outdoor dining, but that was all that they were doing. So the few times we did go out, we were outside.
Okay. Nick took the RV route, right? You guys traveled around a bit.
I did, yeah. It was a father-son trip. Preston, sort of inspired by things that you've done with your kids over the last few years. My son turns 14 next month, and so it was just me and Ben, and we rented an RV. I got to give a plug to Fret's RV. They're out in Souderton near where you live, Press, and they are phenomenal. They were so helpful. A guy named Pete is in charge of rentals, and he was great, and so we rented it. I guess about a week and a half ago, went up and saw, spent some time with my girlfriend's parents in the Poconos, and then drove from the Poconos up to Maine. I hadn't been to Maine in 20, 25 years. I had forgotten how incredible it is. Casey, I know you've been, and Preston, you've been relatively recently, but
I want to go back though. Yeah.
I can't wait to go back. I was just reminded of how beautiful that state is. It's not that difficult to get to. It was like 8 hours, 8.5 hours driving.
So if you split that with Ben, you should have done pretty good, right?
Yeah, he's a good driver. Yeah, so that was cool.
Ben, I'm going to teach you to drive in an RV.
Yeah.
Let's go to the cemetery.
But you know what, guys? Like, for two of us in an RV, it was perfect. And, you know, Steve, you know, talking about the Kreischer concert and the Struts tonight, like, we packed the RV with plenty of food. We didn't really need to go out to restaurants. I kind of missed that. I like going to restaurants, but we were prepared. We had a roof over our heads every night. And we stayed at a gorgeous campground near Acadia National Park. It was my 23rd national park and Ben's fifth. So I'd like to make it to all 62 before I die. And so I'm up to 23 now, and I'd never been to Acadia before. It was incredible.
Hey, you know what, and obviously the RV experience is really picked up since COVID and restrictions and all that stuff, and it's hard to find them right now and everything, and people are buying them like crazy. Did you get a taste for it, Nick? Do you think you might down the road buy one of these things?
You know, so we've had those Van There people on our show a few times, and Mike and Jess, and they're great. I like them a lot. They do it full time. They live in the RV in a van. I don't think I could do that.
I couldn't fit my TV.
Yeah. You know what, Steve? This RV did have a TV. It had a DVD player. It had a digital antenna. So when we were near to cities, we could pick up all the regular channels that you would get. And it was really, really comfortable for two people, you know, an adult man and a 14-year-old kid. But more than that, you know, if my girlfriend had come, it probably would have been a little crowded. But Preston, to answer your question, like, I would consider buying one because I love going camping. I love the outdoors. And it's a way to do that. And it just provides so much convenience. There were a couple times where our plans changed. We were supposed to do a whale watch out of Plymouth, Massachusetts at one point, right? And that ended up not working because there was that tropical storm that rolled up the coast.
And unfortunately, the whales all beached themselves.
No, the seas were just too choppy, we couldn't go out on the ocean. So we had to change those plans and change where we stayed, and we did. You know, we didn't have to change hotel reservations. We didn't have to worry about flights. We were in our home for a week. I think, for me anyway, a week was enough. I was ready to be out of it by the time I got home, but it was just it was clean and easy and convenient. The fridge was huge. There was plenty of storage.
What about showering?
Showering was, listen, it's cramped, but I'm not like you, Steve. I don't need to stay in a 4-star hotel every time. I like that, and I think it's a cool approach. But you're roughing it, but not really roughing it. And so, you know, all of the conveniences you need are right there. And if you want to shower, you can. If you need to use the bathroom, you can. I can't recommend it more highly.
Did you run into any other RVers? And did they?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, and man, you can spend some money on RVs. Like, we stayed at a KOA in Acadia and near Bar Harbor, and I don't know what those things cost, but I can't imagine they're any less. Like, some of the fanciest ones, they got to be like $300,000-$400,000.
I'm sure you're up in that range. I think something that's sort of a hybrid between, you know, one of these super huge suckers
That's what this was.
And the van life, I think, is sort of where I would fall.
You know what I bizarrely like? I don't know why, but I think if I own one, I probably wouldn't, are those Airstream
they're cool.
Trailers.
Yeah.
Something looks cool about them.
I like the way they're retro. Look. They're retro looking.
Yeah.
That is cool.
I just don't like the idea of, are you talking about like a fifth wheel, though, too? The one that you attach to a truck?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd like pulling something like that as opposed to actually being in where you're going to live, like an RV where you're driving
it. The only thing
but
I would
look cool.
Really feel comfortable driving is what Nick had last week. That's it.
That's a Class B, by the way, Casey. And so the Class C, I think you need a special license for. The Class C is a little bit bigger. Yeah. Than the Class A basically is a tour bus. It's like what Bert Kreischer
Class
drives.
A.
But also you can get, you know, there are different, obviously a million different versions of an RV. But Preston, I've always wanted the one where you have like the bed over the driver's seat or over the driver.
That's where I used to sleep all the time.
Camp out for hunger.
That was my favorite bed over the, it was like having a bunk bed and I was like Bobby Brady. Yeah.
But they're a little bit
bigger.
Put on
his footy pajamas and get up there.
I'm going up to bed, Unky Preston.
But I was driving a Class B for the last week, and it was 21 feet long. It was it handled really well. It got like 16 miles to the gallon. So
were you doing donuts in it?
I was not doing donuts, but it handled well.
Guess what I get to do?
it drove like a car.
Guess what I get to do?
Hey, did you go to the Trenton Bridge Lobster Pound?
I did not, Case. I appreciated the suggestion.
It's a lobster rodeo.
It's a place to get lobster.
Lobster roll.
Yeah, it was near where I was staying. It's a restaurant. We didn't do much restaurant eating, and that's why. I've never received, and it's not a complaint, but I've never received more suggestions over Instagram as to where to go, to what to see, to what to do. Oh. Like when you go to Maine, and we stopped in Rhode Island on the way back. We stopped at Fenway Park in Boston on the way back. People had so many ideas and so many cool things to see and do, which I appreciated. We just didn't get to all of them.
Yeah. Then the fact that you had that sort of fluid ability to go as you decided is really cool.
One of the campgrounds where we stayed, which was in southern Maine on our way back down south, had a shark warning sign. And it was very clearly marked, if you're going to go swimming,
you're going to die.
Aware. You're not going to die.
Did you encounter any douchebags on your... on your vacation?
Not really, man.
Good.
And that's another thing.
And I even went to Douchebag Park.
We should have a segment when we return from vacation. Trip douchebags.
Well,
you at least meet one, right?
Usually. But listen, there's something about that part of the world, Maine and New Hampshire and Vermont, that people were really friendly. Massachusetts, definitely.
They're moose people, right?
There's some mass holes in Massachusetts for sure. But like...
I think Kathy might have a douchebag.
No, sorry. I was going to say, Nick, you didn't encounter them because they're all in New York.
They are.
We sat around at one point. We were like, why is every hostess or everybody you call to like make a reservation or pick up food or like whatever, like they're just, and we came to the conclusion that it's not that they're, and this might be hard to explain, it's not that they're so rude. It's just like. The New York tone, tone of voice. Like
no, it is.
You know, like and the way they speak, and a lot of them don't smile.
I know. And then, if you head the other direction, you head down south. Say, hey, sweetheart, how y'all doing today? Well, Pepsi, I got you a thing, sugar. And it's like, wow.
Whoa. Uh-huh.
Why are you talking to me like that?
I'm not. What's your story, loser?
Yeah. What do you want out of me?
Yeah. You want money?
Yeah. So, but no douchebags. That's good. No, it's like no sad bro.
Yeah, have no you guys douchebag bro. Yeah. Have you guys ever been to Newport, Rhode Island?
I have.
Man, we did one of the mansion tours there, and I saw...
Was it one that had been planned and was set up, or were you just breaking into homes?
Yeah, we were broken. Like, I was hoping for a TV. No, the Vanderbilt home, the Breakers.
Wow. Oh, yes, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. And then there was this boat in Newport Harbor. I've never... seen a yacht like this before. It looked like it was something out of Billions or Succession or Judge Judy's yacht. It was literally the biggest boat I've ever seen in my entire life, and it was a private yacht. It was unreal the amount of money in those places.
I'm conflicted when I see stuff like that. I'm like, wow, that's impressive, and I'm also like, you a-hole.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know what I mean?
It kind of makes you feel a little inferior because we drove around and Newport's
gorgeous.
You think
you're better than us? That's the guy. Hey! You think you're better than us?
Yelling up at him.
Yeah, the when you drive around and see those mansions, and those are like summer homes for those people.
Hey,
those...
you think you're better than us? All right, we have another house to go to, Ben. Hey!
He's walking down the block.
All right, two more. Hey, you think you're better than us? Let's skip the last one, my dudes.
And then last thing, Preston, I wanted to give a shout out to you and, because we were having a fun little text conversation about Buxton, Maine.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of the locations that they go to in the end of Shawshank. And I was just driving south and saw a sign for Buxton and texted my brothers because they love Shawshank Redemption as well. And my brother Adam said, you have to go. You have to go see it. So it turns out that most of Shawshank was filmed in Ohio, not in Maine.
Right.
I didn't quite realize that when I was driving around up there. But I got to go see a hayfield in Buxton. And it's cool. It's my favorite movie of all time. So, Casey, it reminded me a little bit of when you went to go see where they filmed What About Bob and in New Hampshire. And they filmed it, I guess, in North Carolina.
No, Virginia.
Virginia, okay.
Listen, sometimes you have to go somewhere just to get a picture of a sign.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And so that's what I
did. You need to go to Buxton, Maine, even though they didn't shoot it there, just to get a picture of a Buxton, Maine sign.
Yeah.
Then you got to do that. Right.
Speaking of which, I saw Lucy the Elephant with my own two eyes for the first time on Sunday.
First time?
First time ever.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
So,
all your trips out there, this is the first time you actually saw it?
45 years of living, I hadn't seen Lucy with my own two eyes. And so Chuck D'Amico and I rode our bikes from Atlantic City to Wildwood on Sunday, and I'm like, I didn't even think that I would see Lucy the Elephant. I'm like, oh, there it is. I'm like, do you want to stop? He's like, I don't know, do you? I'm like, no. He's like, no, okay. And then we just kept going. So we were going to stop. It was raining.
You don't want to go inside a wet elephant.
No, we just didn't want to really didn't want to stop.
Oh, okay.
We were riding our bikes in the rain.
Is Lucy open?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yes, there's a like a bed and breakfast thing, right? You can do.
And I think it's a restaurant too. They were at least they looked like they were open. They had like some something going on outside when I went
really?
By there.
It's also a free clinic, isn't it?
I don't know.
Is it?
I don't know. Hey,
man, I got a serious problem.
Speaking of Jersey Shore, and Nick had mentioned the tropical storm that hit a little while back. Apparently jellyfish larvae, commonly known as sea lice, are invading South Jersey beaches, all thanks to the tropical storm.
Well, they eat fecal matter, which is washing into the oceans around there, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but yes, there was a sewage thing.
This is the time where you start to see a lot of jellyfish at the Jersey Shore.
Well, it's going to happen a little bit earlier than usual because of that, Kath. So, yeah, environmental officials think that Isaias had pushed, that's the storm, had pushed larvae up from Florida. Since stinging jellyfish don't usually appear on New Jersey beaches until late summer when the water gets warmer.
Yeah, so the water has been warmer. And when I was, going to the beach a lot, late August is when you'd see those purple jellyfish, those big mothers.
Yeah, the microscopic sea lice are known for causing skin rashes and irritation to swimmers in the southern United States and the Caribbean.
So those are jellyfish larvae?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
Sea lice are, yeah.
So
I thought the water last week was pretty cold, actually.
When we were up there,
Caroline
wanted me to get in. I'm like, it's freaking cold, man. It took me a little, you get used to it pretty quickly, but
getting in
was really cold.
Yeah, that storm brought in cooler water. It was like the very next day.
Okay. All right. I was like, wow. I thought it was usually warmer than this, but it was freezing cold. So apparently, according to the director of the New Jersey Sierra Club, they said that it's a direct result of problems from both climate change and stormwater runoff.
It's freaking sea lice.
Yeah, all over the place.
All over the place.
So did I hear correctly that they're predicting that they're going to run out of letters for hurricanes this year? That
pops up now and then.
Yeah. 26.
Yeah, and that they move on to the Greek alphabet after that?
No, they move on to farts.
Oh, okay.
I feel like they say this every year.
Hurricane.
Yeah. You feel like you say what every year?
That they're running out.
Okay.
Hurricane is heading towards south.
Wouldn't it be great if the actual anchor had to make the fart noise with their own mouth? Hurricane. Each time they would have to do that.
How's it looking out there, Lou? Well, hurricane. I don't know. We've gotten well into the alphabet in some years. Have we ever gotten to the?
I'm trying to think of like the one. What's the latest that I actually remember? Right. So you had a Katrina. That was K.
Anything? Wasn't Sandy really late?
Sandy?
But Sandy was
a superstorm.
It was a superstorm.
But it still got a name.
Yeah.
Well, they name a lot these days. So what's the highest or what's the last letter?
Deepest into the alphabet?
Into the alphabet.
I don't know. Is there a Ziggy somewhere along the lines or Zelda or...
I don't know if they've ever had... So they would start over? They wouldn't...
Well, Casey was saying they go to the Greek alphabet.
To the Greek, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ah,
hell.
Which would be... Wait a minute.
Alpha.
Yeah. What's the Greek alphabet? You know.
Alpha, beta.
So basically A, B. Again, we start over with A, B.
Gamma, delta, epsilon.
Comma.
Comma?
Yeah.
Comma.
Semicolon.
Decimal.
Yeah.
We've learned a lot here today, folks. All right, anyhow, watch out for the sea lice if you're headed to the beach. Apparently they're forecasting that it's going to be a bit of an issue. And you can get rash and all kinds of good stuff out
That's
of that.
That's great. Right? That's awesome. Nice,
All right, listen, I want to take a break, but I want to do this right now. The Struts live drive-in tonight at Citizens Bank Park. And I'll take caller...
Think you're better than us!
I'll take caller 14... And I'm going to give you passes for a carload so that you and three friends to go to the show tonight.
It's going
to
be a great time.
215-263-WMMR. So give us a call right now. And if you're interested in buying tickets, they're on sale now at phillies.com/drive-in. Of course, you can go to WMMR.com. And there's a list of more concerts and the guidelines for attending the drive-in concerts. It's going to be great weather. Pierre and Brent are going to be hosting this event tonight, by the way. So let's get you on board. Caller number 14, 215-263-WMMR. Taking a break. Coming back, we will get to the B-File when we return, so stay with us.
MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series, an hour-long concert made up of the best live performances ever captured.
MMR rocks.
Metallica in concert this Saturday night at 7. We're all jonesing for live music, and this should help. So hit the backyard, get the tailgate started, and crank up MMR every Saturday night this summer at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series.
Sponsored by Acme Markets, official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show.
This week, Metallica.
Give me 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
All right, let's take a stroll through the B-File.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Burke Brothers Landscaping. They have an immediate need for an experienced hardscape foreman who wants to earn a competitive salary and work with the award-winning landscape design and build firm. For more information, you can visit BurkeBrothers.com. We're going to send today's Bizarre File out to a young man named Daniel Colachico. It is his birthday today.
Yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Dan runs PrestonSteveRock.com, which is completely, he does it. He and his, who, I forgot the other guy's name. I'm just terrible.
Jordan.
Yep.
I guess so. Yes.
Yes. We interface with Dan a lot more. But,
we do.
But Dan is awesome.
They run that that website, and they're super-duper fans, so we're very appreciative. So happy birthday to you, Dan. Here, we're going to start with this. Out of St. Petersburg, Florida, a homeless man somehow got into Al Lang Stadium and lived in a luxury suite for nearly 2 weeks. I believe this is their soccer stadium. So this is from last week. Daniel Alberta Nasia was arrested after a cleaning crew entered the room where he was staying and found razors, open shaving cream containers, and blankets.
Yes, may I help you?
The police spokesperson, Yolanda Fernandez, said that
Yolanda!
Yes, Yolanda said that the cleaning crew had not been in the room for some time because the space was supposed to be empty and cleaning activity was limited due to COVID-19. Stadium security reviewed surveillance video and found that Nisha had been entering the merchandise store and food area, and he was wearing the team clothing. Rowdies is the name of the team.
So he was all set up.
Yeah, he was eating.
If you were living in a stadium like that, wouldn't you go, I'm going to the bathroom now?
He was wearing the merchandise, and he was eating the food that he had found. Surveillance footage showed that he had been in the facility since July 26.
It's amazing he went all that time without security noticing this.
Officers do not know how he entered the stadium, but suspect that he was able to blend in with the cleaning crew. Yolanda said the value of the clothing he took was about $1,000, and he also consumed $250 in drinks. Nasia was arrested on charges of burglary and resisting an officer without violence. A missing piece of Lego has dropped out of a child's nose
2 years after he shoved it up in there.
Oh, my God.
7-year-old Samira Anwar in South New Zealand inserted a tiny piece of Lego up his nose in 2018. Samir's father and his wife became alarmed when their son told them that they had lost a piece of Lego up his nose and they couldn't find it. The concerned parents took their son to the doctor, who was also unable to find or remove it. The doctor advised him the piece would move through their son's digestive tract if it had been there in the first place. With Samir showing no signs of pain or distress, his parents soon forgot about the ordeal. Since then, he's never complained or anything, his dad said.
So there was no symptom or anything to indicate that was up there.
He said it was quite playful and a mischievous character. Anwar believes that the piece was part of a Lego character's arm. Then last night, the unbelievable happened, Anwar said. A plate of pink cupcakes prompted his son to lean down and take a great big sniff of them. And immediately his nose began to hurt. Thinking he had sniffed up some cake crumbs, his mother helped him blow his nose, hoping to thoroughly clear the nostrils. But instead of pink cake crumbs, out dropped a tiny piece of black Lego covered in fungus.
Oh, well, you can throw those cupcakes out.
They said the Lego piece looks a bit gross, but that's how it is.
Imagine if he sneezed and like a little hand was sticking out of his nose.
Samir, who remains a fan of the colorful plastic bricks, appeared delighted with the reunited piece. It was not the first time that he had put something up his nose before. When he was three, he pushed an imitation pearl up his nostril. But in that instance, his father was able to retrieve it.
Were you one of those kids?
I was not a nose shover, no.
No, neither was I.
Definitely not.
I was more rectum stuff.
Okay, yeah. just the butt.
Yeah. Matchbox up the ass.
A boy was taken to a hospital with non-critical injuries after falling down a chimney atop a school building in East Central Minnesota.
Jeez.
The incident happened just after midnight at a middle school. There, a 14-year-old boy and his two friends climbed the chimney before the 14-year-old fell approximately 50 feet.
50 feet?
Yeah, inside the chimney. Three police officers responded to the school, including two school resource officers. With the boy trapped in the chimney, the officers were able to rescue him through a maintenance hatch. The team was transported to the hospital with unknown injuries, though police say his injuries were not life-threatening. He got lucky. A key to the rescue was the resource officer, who was quickly able to access the interior of the building and had intimate knowledge of the school, so they got him out.
What's at the base of that fall?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't the furnace, so thankfully. This is wild. A fisherman died in a freak accident after a 40-pound mackerel launched itself into his boat and hit him in the chest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the 56-year-old was fishing with family and friends when the tragedy struck. The group proceeded to make its way to Cullen Bay. This is in Australia, by the way.
Of course!
With the man still breathing, where they met up with police and paramedics who administered CPR.
Fish killed him.
Despite their efforts, the man tragically passed away at the scene.
So it must have hit him just right.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when someone gets hit in the chest with like a hard bowl or something.
Yeah. A local fisherman, James Crane, said that it was about a 40-pound mackerel, so it would have been a big fish that speared right into this guy and caused major blunt force trauma.
Wow.
They said it appears to be a freak accident, which is hugely distressing for the people in the boat and other family and friends of the man. So, wow, it's pretty wild. All right, and then one last story, and we will wrap it up. Let's end with this one. It was a whodunit when a stash of beer and gum from the 1980s was discovered behind the walls of the mystery section at a Washington library.
Beer and gum?
Yeah. Due to the outbreak of COVID-19, the Walla Walla Public Library has been closed to the public since March and has since taken time to do some renovations, according to the director, Aaron Wells. He said during the demolition 3 weeks ago, 5 full cans of Hams beer and an open pack of Godzilla Heads gum was found in a disintegrated paper bag.
And then Andy told me about something else he hid.
Luis Cuellar had found the odd treasure when he removed the 7-foot-tall corner panel on some open-top shelving believed to be original to the 1970s building.
Wow.
And with some of the packaging clues, such as a missing warning label required on all beer after the late 1980s, library staff calculated that the hidden stash had to have been there for at least 30 years.
I'd love to hear the story on that. Who thought they had to hide it and what it was, what the purpose was.
Yeah, well said. It looked like
gum and beer.
Well said. It looked like somebody had just stashed it there, maybe thought they could get it later, but there was no way to get it out.
Somebody had some sort of deathbed confession. I want you to know something. I've drawn a map.
There were probably six beers that they bought, and there was only five that we found, so might not have been thinking straight when they did it.
I don't have much to leave you, but I can leave you beer and gum.
And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We are going to take a break. Reminder, we're going to have magician Justin Willman on the show a little bit later on.
Magic Camp.
Yeah, and he's also got At Home, which is a Zoom event, and we'll get the details from him later. He's a very funny, very cool guy, so we'll spend some time a little bit later on with him. Stay close. We have Tattoos Day, a chance for you to win $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing in Philadelphia. Text the word TATTOO to 39333, and you might win that. And we'll have another chance to win Struts tickets. In fact, two more chances for that show tonight. So make sure you stay with us. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you to Linden Italian Market. They are one of the real Philly delis with Dietz and Watson. They brought by some goodies this morning.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're a gem in Philadelphia's Great Northeast, and a large variety of breakfast sandwiches, fresh hoagies, homemade salads served daily, as well as a selection of grocery and specialty Italian items. You know Linden Italian Market will not disappoint. So we appreciate that. And you can check out all the Real Philly Delis at realphillydeli.com. Steve sent me an article talking about the fact that there is a Knight Rider movie in production.
Yes.
And
a theatrical movie.
There needs to be a new kit as well. And by the way, you know, before we, the question is what should a 2020 era kit be? What car?
Was it a Trans Am?
Should it be? It was a Trans Am.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was. I dug those Trans Ams around that time. Then they had, you know, the a couple years before that too. There was a sleek look to it. It just always looked like a spy car.
Yeah. Nothing really beat the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am.
That was the
best
Firebird.
One.
That's
right?
One we had for a while.
Okay.
I thought it. You know what?
It was a Trans Am.
It's a Trans Am. Yeah. You're right. But it had the big. It had the bird on the hood. Those are pretty badass. A friend of mine, Gary, had one of those, but it was gold. It wasn't black like that one.
Okay.
With the T-tops and the whole thing. That was a pretty badass car.
It was Preston. Yeah. My brother had one, and you'd turn the key.
Yeah.
Rumbled. I mean, it was just one of those rumbles that just got you to the core.
By the way, while we ruminate on this, and feel free, suggestions, if you have an idea of what kit should be if they do a new Knight Rider movie. There's a, here. This is from the Wikipedia page. To remind you about the 1982 show and what the premise was. Okay?
Okay.
So self-made billionaire Wilton Knight rescues police detective Lieutenant Michael Arthur Long after a near-fatal shot in the face, giving him a new identity by plastic surgery.
I didn't remember that.
And a new name, Michael Knight. So, yeah, that's correct.
He got shot in the face?
I guess that was the setup to the show.
I would like to alter you and give you an entirely new life. You said yes, didn't you?
Wilton selects Michael to be the primary field agent in the pilot program for his public justice organization, which is called the Foundation for Law and Government, or FLAG. The other half of the pilot program is the Knight Industries 2000, which is KIT.
Right.
A heavily modified, technologically advanced Pontiac Firebird Trans Am. So I guess Firebird's the same thing.
Yeah.
With numerous features, including an extremely durable shell and frame controlled by a computer with artificial intelligence. Michael and KIT are brought in during situations where direct action might provide the only feasible solution.
And wasn't there, so they had a mobile base of operations that was an 18-wheeler, right,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't know all that, Preston.
I had no idea. Did you, no, like getting shot in the face?
No, it sounds
I didn't know about the billionaire, Wilton Knight. Did you guys know that?
No.
I didn't remember that, I should say, but it sounds pretty dumb to me.
for a show that, for the rest of it, seemed very feasible.
Yeah. Well, not that it seemed feasible, but,
that
you know.
That all seems believable, but this millionaire thing.
As a kid, it was badass. I love that. The General Lee, like, you know, any of those TV cars that were awesome. But, I mean, for me, if they're not going to, if Pontiac is not going to come out and make a new Trans Am, then to me, it can only be one of two cars, and that is a Camaro or a Corvette. That's it.
Okay.
So for me, it's not up for debate.
They did a second series, a Knight Rider, and I believe in that one, and Nick, perhaps you can look this up, I believe in that one, it was a Mustang.
Interesting.
Yes, a souped, because I don't know. If the Corvette's very cool.
It's got, so for me, the Corvette actually has that nose of the car that most resembles.
You want something that'll handle that grid, that light. You've got to have the iconic light.
Yeah, that would have to be a part of it again. Wow, that sounds intimidating.
I'm intimidated. Turn on the cooing sound.
Yes, you freaking pigeon.
We need to get him to testify. Okay, man, okay.
It was a Mustang, and do you know who voiced Kit in the second iteration of Knight Rider, which was in 2008?
No.
Val Kilmer, of all people.
Well, obviously before his esophageal issues.
Yeah, it was the guy was played the son of Michael Knight, of Hasselhoff's character.
God, I vaguely remember.
Did you, Nick, know about the history? Is that he had been shot in the face?
I was all in on Knight Rider as a kid, and then we would watch the reruns in college, and so I mean, like, I was into Garth and Goliath and the whole evil twin thing and Knight Rider. And
Garth was his evil twin, right?
And he showed up in more than one episode,
and you knew he was evil because he had facial hair.
Yes, the mustache gave it away.
Yeah. Anyone with a mustache is evil, right?
Like, wait a second. Is it Jennifer Grey that was in that? Or am I thinking of somebody else? There was a hot chick that was in it, right?
Erin Grey?
Erin Grey,
yeah,
that's it.
She was also on Buck Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
And Silver Spoons, right?
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Was she on Knight Rider as well?
I don't know.
Did she have her face shot off? Because I want that surgery where they can make people look like that.
We really, I need to consult Craig Ligons on these things before I speak up, because he knows everything.
He is a savant when it comes to this stuff.
Was she on BJ and the Bear? There was a hot girl on BJ and the Bear.
It was a monkey,
too,
I know
right?
that.
Yeah, there was a monkey. That was
a chimp,
the Bear.
Say. Yeah, well, the Bear.
Are you talking about the female lead in Knight Rider case?
Yeah, who was that?
That was not Erin Grey. That was a lady, I just looked it up. It was a lady named Patricia McPherson. She kind of looked a little like Erin Grey, but...
All right.
She was the Meryl Streep of Knight Rider.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. So, what car did you go with, Preston?
I don't know. I would. I'm kind of inclined to go with a Corvette, something American Muscle, you know, which is what the Trans Am was as well. And people were pointing out that Pontiac is no longer in business. I don't keep track with all the
Was Pontiac
car companies.
Was that part of the Chevrolet family? Because I was anytime there was a Chevy, there was like the Pontiac version of that, like, so if you remember the Chevette,
right?
Well, they had the Pontiac T1000, which was the Pontiac version of the Chevette.
Yeah, it was a GM car. Okay, so it was Oldsmobile, which is also out of business.
There's a couple of suggestions coming in, and then I want to open up a bigger discussion about cars on screen. I'm going to go to Vince. Hey, Vince, how you doing?
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right, so what do you think? Would put your bid in for Kit?
So I think Kit should be the 2020 Hellcat, the Challenger Hellcat.
That is a hell of a car. That is such a badass looking car.
It was like 800 horsepower, something insane, right?
So isn't that
they come with over 800 horsepower? But I wanted to say I don't think it should be the new Corvette. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's the 2020 Corvette is the mid-engine one. They, like, completely redid it.
Is it like a McLaren?
Yeah, like the engine is direct. The engine is directly behind you. It's over the rear axle.
Oh.
But they own it. They're only making so many of them, and I'm afraid if you make it the new Corvette, that everybody that has a Corvette is just going to make it look like the new kit.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man.
I'd probably appreciate do that.
let me go to. Hang on. Rocky says they make a 2020 Trans Am. Hey, Rocky.
Hey, Kathy. How you doing? You want to go walk on some ice or something?
Oh, <Kathy. Hello. laughs>
It's the real Rocky. Oh, my God.
It's the real Rocky.
Yeah. What's up, dude?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
So right now, there's actually a company that takes Camaros and they completely redo them, like the front end and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they make them look exactly like the Bandit Trans Am.
So, but they're not making a production Trans Am. They're modding them to look like Trans Ams.
Sort of. So okay. They're kind of like a production company. So they get Camaros from Chevrolet, and then people order them the way, you know, with all the packages they want and all that for the Trans Am, and then they just build them and ship them to their house.
Well, you know, so if you should it look something like the original Knight Rider? Because if you talk of franchises and cars associated with, like the Transporter, is it Audi? You know, he started with the BMW, but then it became Audi, and it was Audi's, you know, that he always drives, mm-hmm. and that's part of the deal. I think you need something. I think you need an American car for Knight Rider.
Yeah, I think agree. So.
Yeah,
somebody just texted me that they are coming out with a 2020 Pontiac Trans Am.
Are they?
Okay. Interesting. Hey, by the way, in a larger conversation, Nick had posted this a few weeks ago, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but it was a photo of some iconic vehicles that said, the keys are in the ignition. You can only take one. Which one do you take? And it's got, it has it by name of the show, Dukes of Hazzard, Back to the Future, Knight Rider, Starsky and Hutch, James Bond, Mad Max, Ghostbusters, The A-Team, Miami Vice, or Magnum. And so, you know, everybody jumped on which one they would choose. And I actually threw my two cents in and said, but this is, it was from an animated series. I said.
I know what you're going to say.
What?
The Mach 5.
The Mach 5.
The Mach 5.
The Mach 5 on there, I'm not going to take one.
The Mach 5, I loved that car.
Yes, me too.
That car meant more to me than like a Knight Rider, you could cut down trees with it when you were driving.
You could. Right. You could go underwater.
You could go underwater.
You could jump things.
Well, so that's the question. That's the question that I have to ask before I can even answer. Is it just the car? Is it the car and the actual capabilities that it held within said movie or show?
I think it's the car that has the attributes of said movie or show. Now, for me, obviously, we've said this many times before. My dream car is the Aston Martin. The right. DB5, I believe it is, from Goldfinger. And that's the one they keep going back to in the actual movies.
Actually, I have a list. Let me go. It's in the other room. I'm going to go get it. Sorry, guys.
I'm going to go fix my face.
Yeah. Because if it's the actual capabilities, then I got to go with the DeLorean. I mean, why would you not take a time machine out of any of those other cars?
No, that's a good point. If you're taking the aspect of it that makes it unique... okay, you do raise a good point. It can achieve the most of any of the cars. Yeah. That's for certain. It can travel through goddamn time.
Right?
This is such a dude conversation. Like, you guys could just sit around and talk cars.
All right, let's put it there. There are 10 different styles of Jimmy Choo shoes.
No, it's stupid.
Wait, hang on. But here's the deal. You shouldn't tamper with time travel. So
yeah.
I would recommend that it's actually going to get you in more trouble than it would get you in anywhere in a good situation having the Back to the Future.
I'll tell you my one issue with
flirting with danger with that.
With the DeLorean, Preston, I thought it sat a little too high.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was a sleek looking car, and the doors were cool and all that stuff was made of stainless steel, right?
Yeah.
But I always thought it sat just a little bit too high.
All right, which Batmobile?
That's a good question.
Right?
All right, I love the iconic Adam West original Batmobile. But given my druthers, given the one that I think I would probably most like to drive, and the Tumbler and the Batmobile from From Batman v Superman, from the
right,
Zack Snyder stuff.
Right, that was pretty badass.
That's probably the one I like the most.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're all wonderful. You know what, though? The Keaton Batmobile, though, it's to me that would be any vehicle you need to shoot a grappling hook into a...
To make a turn?
To make a turn.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
That makes it sort of not useful.
Not as practical.
Not as practical, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a list of the 50 most memorable movie cars of all time. This is a, where did this come from? This is...
Kathy sent it over.
Axel Addict.
Yeah, Kathy sent a lot of people don't know. She works at Pep Boys.
And I don't know. I doubt we'd have time to go through all 50 of
so
them.
So do 49.
No, I'll do, how about 25?
All right.
And then if we have time, I can go back and get to some of the other ones.
We can take the time machine.
The
DeLorean.
We could take the DeLorean and go back.
And get the rest of the list.
There is definitely one movie car that I would say is not super duper flashy. And when I reveal it, Steve, I think you would agree with me. But
a driving Miss Daisy car?
No. I mean, listen, no, it's definitely a...
Actually, shut up.
It's a ballsy car, but it's not, you know, it's not... Ferrari or you know, anything like that, but I would definitely take it. I would definitely take the John Wick car.
The John Wick car is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So the
Mustang,
one,
right?
The Mustang?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm going
to
shoot.
Yeah. I'd have to see it again, but was it like a 68 fastback?
It seemed like it, yeah. Okay. I'm not an expert.
There's a scene in the original John Wick where he takes it out to the airport and is tooling around in it, and that's the car that they love, that they want. And the Russian mobsters.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous car.
Yeah.
All right, so here's...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
From this list, we'll start with number 25. The Starsky & Hutch 1976 Ford Gran Torino.
I always loved them. They made point of it in the Starsky & Hutch movie that for undercover cops, you could not pick a more audaciously loud and obvious car to drive around in.
Red with a big white stripe and all that thing. Yeah.
Well, the only thing they needed was undercover cops written on the side of the door.
A badass car, man.
It is.
Badass car. All right. Then there's the, this is from this list, Axel Addicts, I believe is who did this, Axel Addict. The Days of Thunder 1990 Chevrolet Lumina. It's a NASCAR, right?
So,
Transformers 2009 Chevy Camaro.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife is a Camaro chick. For many years, that's all she had.
It's a nice car, but the fact that they made Bumblebee a Camaro pissed me and a lot of other people off.
All right, remember, these are movie cars here. Then you have at number 22, come on, the Risky Business 1981 Porsche 928.
Why'd you go to hell?
Is that the one that ends up in the lake?
It does. Yeah. It does. And the 928, when it went out of favor as far as, the 911 is what people really, really like. It's their more popular, style.
Did you like the 928?
There was the 944.
I thought that was kind of cool looking, yeah.
The 928 was kind of in between the 944 and the 911. You guys remember that?
I remember the 944 because in high school, like, one person had one, and everybody was like, ooh.
That was like the affordable one, right?
It was like, what does Jake drive in?
Jake drives a 944.
In 16 candles.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But, 928, I thought they were kind of cool looking, but I guess they didn't stick.
There was a guy in high school that had a Porsche.
Yeah,
really?
Same here.
I'll get a Porsche one day, and you know what? I haven't.
It's just not practical.
No.
You know?
No, I have too many kids.
Yeah, you can't. Listen, when you have a high school car, you at least want a couple of people in the back seat, right?
Yeah.
Calper has a Porsche.
Not anymore.
No,
he sold it.
He got rid of that long time ago.
Boxster.
He had a Boxster.
Totally sick.
Yeah, it was.
I got a smart car now.
No, he got rid of that shortly after he got it. I don't think he liked it. Well, I'm speaking for him, and I don't know if that's the case or not. But he didn't have that Porsche too long. It was sick.
Sick. The Boxster was sick.
Number 21 on this list is the Dukes of Hazzard 1969 Dodge Charger RT. Yep.
Wait, Charger? I thought it was a Challenger.
Charger, yeah.
How about that?
Who didn't? The best thing you can see, though, are the outtakes of what happened after they made those jumps each time in that Charger.
It just
and
destroyed
how crumpled
the
front ends were.
Well, they show a whole bunch of footage, like from the Starsky and Hutch movie, of those stunts. And they, every time the frame bent and cracked, and it was just a disaster.
I wonder how many rednecks in the 70s that had the room and place to go and jump cars, ruin their car doing that from watching.
You can do it. You do it on TV. Yeah,
totally. Exactly. All right. This is from Ronan, a 1998 BMW 535i.
So that's part of one of the greatest film chases of all time. In that
I never
movie.
Saw it.
It's excellent.
Yeah. They're just, I mean, just screeching through these. Italy? Was
yeah,
it,
yeah.
These little, tiny little Italian streets. I think it was amazing driving.
I think it was southern France, actually.
It was this part of southern France that's Italy.
That's in Italy. Yeah. You think you know everything.
Yeah.
But that is one of the longest car chase scenes in a movie ever, and it never gets dull. It just keeps going. But Preston, I think you'd like that movie. It's De Niro and Jean Reno, and it's a cool mind bender.
Okay,
and Larry the Cable Guy.
He's not in that movie.
Get her down!
He was screaming it while they're tearing through the southern France and Italy.
Get her down! Get her down!
All right, these are the movie cars. Top movie cars. Actually, you probably could do all 50 of these.
Why not?
Number 19 is Vanishing Point and Death Proof, the 1970 Dodge Challenger RT.
That I love that car. You ever see Vanishing Point? It's about a guy who's sort of a speed junkie.
Mm-mm.
Okay,
I didn't see it. Number 18 on this list is from Christine, the 1958 Plymouth Fury. That was a cool looking car.
Very cool looking car.
Number 17 on the list is The Spy Who Loved Me, 1975.
The Lotus?
Lotus Esprit.
So they had, when that movie came out, they sent a whole bunch of those cars out to, you know, malls. And this is the car from the movie. It was just a car that was featured in the movie. It wasn't the car, but it was a cool car.
My neighbor down the street, Rick, he had a Lotus, and he didn't even have a garage, so he kept it underneath like a, one of those, what do you call those things? It's just a car cover, I guess.
Carport. A cover.
Wait, did he even? I don't even
like
think
a tent?
I don't even think he had a carport. No, it was just a car cover, like a big old blanket over that thing.
Okay.
Well, but we would sneak in his backyard and we'd lift it up and take a look at it. But if you're gonna have a car like that, you need to keep that garage kept.
Well, here's the deal. And then people always make that case, but the truth of the matter is, the second you drive it out on the road, you take your Lotus to the Wawa for a cup of coffee, it's going to get dinged. You can baby it only so much if you want to practically drive it.
Yeah, there are people that do over-baby their car, like never drive them, ever.
What's the purpose of having it?
Yeah, and we had a neighbor who had a Lotus when I was a kid. I remember that, and it was a pretty slick-looking car at the time. Oh, and if you remember in Pretty Woman, that's what he's driving in the beginning. He's driving a Lotus. So remember, these are kind of iconic movie cars. It doesn't mean one is better than the other, because number 16.
Think you're better than us!
Number 16 is the Wayne's World 1976 AMC Pacer.
I love that car.
That he drives. Do you really?
I do.
You would.
My friend had a Pacer.
Like Vespas and so on. Yeah. You like offbeat things.
Pacer and Gremlin are similar, right?
Kind of. Pacer has a bigger rear window, but it had that kind of setback cockpit.
The
yeah.
Pacer had a lot of room. It had a lot of room inside.
Did it really?
Yeah. So my friend had a Pacer. It was bizarre when we got in. It was like, oh my God, this is really pretty spacious.
Yeah.
I think, which one had the flip up back?
That was a Gremlin, I think.
So the Gremlin was the car. I told the story on the show about
Gremlin.
He left the lid up. He left the back up in the garage when he was unloading it, and he backed it.
Oh my God.
Bent it completely forward.
God. All right, here is number 15, the from the movie Duel, the 1960 Peterbilt 281 tanker.
This is one of the most ominous looking trucks, and the way they made it look, Spielberg's first real legitimate directorial effort. And
basic dirty and
oh God,
yeah,
it's a psychological thriller. The story is this guy's driving. Dennis Weaver's driving a Dodge Dart, and he just happens on a desert road. It passes this truck, and from that moment on, this truck is trying to kill him.
Yeah. I've never seen it all the way through. It was too freaky for me as a kid, but it seemed like it was on like every other Sunday.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
If you think about it, it's basically Jaws.
Yeah.
That's what they had said. Yeah.
You know the truck that trails Clark Griswold in the beginning of Christmas Vacation?
Yeah.
All right. It's sort of similar, right? They pass him and then the truck comes after him. You know that is Kurt Russell's truck in Overboard?
What, really?
That's the actual truck in Overboard. That's his everyday vehicle.
Really?
Same exact car, yeah.
How come this doesn't do the convention route?
Yeah, not the same kind of car. It's the same exact car.
Wait, is it just a? I don't remember the scene from the movie.
So in the movie,
what kind of truck is it? What I'm asking.
It's an old blue pickup truck.
All right, it's not a.
No, it's not like a tanker.
It's not a tanker. Yeah. Okay. Number 14 on this list is Cannonball Run.
Ah.
1980. Don't we have the music?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have that special Cannonball Run. The 1980 Lamborghini Countach LP400S.
That was one of my dream cars for a while because...
There it is.
Good, right? I built the model as a kid, I remember. Whatever Lamborghini model was out, and I sort of fell in love with it. You drove a Lamborghini, did you not?
I did, yes.
And a lot of people wreck those cars because they are not prepared for what they're driving.
Yeah, I had it for 24 hours, and I did manage to get it to 150 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
Which was way too fast to be driving and way too scary. No, I don't think I got 150. I think I got like 130, but yeah.
When you have a front spoiler and a back spoiler, which this vehicle does.
Yep.
Do they make the Countach anymore?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so.
No. Here's number 13 on this list of movie cars. Bourne Identity, 1989, Mini 1100 Special.
Mini.
Mm-hmm. Bourne Identity.
I don't
remember him driving it.
Yeah, that's a...
No. That's not right.
No, that's not the year that the movie came out. That's the car.
Oh.
The 1989 Mini 1100 Special.
Oh, yeah. He drives it down, like, down the steps in...
again. We're looking at a picture of it. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that car was a bit of a Streisand before.
Wait a second. That's in the top 20?
I think because of what he does with it.
Yeah. It's not because it's a, you know, one car is better than the other. It's just kind of these iconic things. All right, number 12 is the Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 1961 Ferrari 250 GT California Spider, which obviously was meticulously taken care of in the movie and everything. I thought it was a good-looking car, but...
I was never crazy about it.
I've seen cooler-looking Ferraris. Number 11 is Mad Max, 1973 Ford Falcon XB GT Coupe.
It's pretty badass.
It is a pretty badass car.
And then he had the after-factory stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Number 10 is the 1963 Volkswagen Type 1 Beetle from Herbie the Love Bug.
Yeah.
I love that car.
I loved it.
All right, so my question, it was
cute.
I was thinking of that movie last week, Herbie the Love Bug, because it just...
The original or fully loaded?
No, the original.
Yeah.
When I watched when I was a kid. Listen, I liked the movie, but was that movie... financed by Volkswagen? You know what I mean? Like, it almost seems like it's just a commercial for the Volkswagen Beetle.
I don't know. I mean, at the time it was made, there was certainly, you know, there was, I'm sure there was a product consideration, and there were, I'm sure they were, you know, like, for example, Aston Martin didn't pay to appear in Goldfinger.
Right, no, but it wasn't, movie wasn't, you know, about the car. It was about James Bond.
Yeah.
This is about the car.
Yeah, but it's... The plot of the movie is this unlikely car being able to do things that it won races. You know, well, it was alive essentially,
right?
But it's like, what was it, the horse racing movie where the freaking zebra ends up
Racing Stripes?
Yeah, I mean,
brilliant movie,
same type of brilliant movie,
yeah,
same
Hot
type
to trot,
of thing.
You know, that was another one.
I don't think it was a commercial for VWs, but...
I bet you they sold a lot after, though.
They probably did. So that was number 10 on the side. Number 9 is American Graffiti, 1932 Ford Coupe. That was that jacked-up yellow car that I think, right?
That was John Milner's car, was it
not?
Yeah,
I think it was. Yeah, it says Milner's 32 Coupe.
Yeah.
Over 20 classic cars and hot rods. That one won out over them, and it helped the popularity of hot rods with the new generation. Also, though, Harrison Ford's Chevy was pretty badass in that movie, too. Number 8, we were talking about Trans Ams earlier. Smokey and the Bandit, 1977 Pontiac Trans Am. Mm-hmm. That was a badass car. And when he pulls out of the truck with it for the first time firing it up, you're like, all right, this is good to go. All right, number 7, top movie cars of all time. Gone in 60 Seconds, 1967 Shelby Mustang GT500. Eleanor,
of course, was the name of it.
No, I never saw that movie.
You never saw it? No. It's pretty good. No. But you did see Ford versus Ferrari, and the whole Shelby story is pretty wild.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. But yeah, Eleanor is a it's wow. People like to get that model, like to a T, have it made to look exactly like Eleanor.
We're looking at it in the studio. It's pretty slick.
And I think on the nitrous button, doesn't it say go, baby, go?
Does it?
I think so. Mm. I don't remember.
What's the nitrous button on your Vespa? What does it say?
I don't have. I don't have a good line, dude. Pass.
All right. Number six is the Ghostbusters 1959 Cadillac Miller Meteor, which is what that was. Which was an ambulance, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a hearse?
I thought it was an ambulance.
No, it was an ambulance.
A converted ambulance.
The other one worth noting, the only other ambulance worth noting, it says, was from Cannonball Run, which Burt Reynolds drove.
Right, and that guy Jack Elam, whose one eye went in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Casey, you know why they chose a Beetle for Herbie the Love Bug? It had nothing to do with Volkswagen.
Okay.
They actually tried out, believe it or not, a whole bunch of different cars. There were Toyotas, a TVR, Volvos, an MG, and then they picked the Volkswagen Beetle ultimately because it was chosen. It was the only one that made the crew reach out and pet it as if it were an animal. And it got named by Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett had a skit about a ski instructor named Klaus. He spoke with a German accent. He introduces fellow ski instructors named Hans, Fritz, Wilhelm, and Sandor. And at the end of the skit, Hackett would say, "If you ain't got a hoiby, I ain't going." And so he who was in the movie, he ended up naming the Love Bug.
Okay. That's right. He is in the movie. He's the mechanic.
Yeah. All right. Then you have the Italian Job, the 1968 Austin Mini Cooper S. Again, a Mini.
Yeah.
And they do have a really cool chase scene.
It's terrific.
Where they're tearing through town and the Minis are just, I mean, they're drifting them and they're so small they can get into spaces, especially in Europe. So they cite that as number five. Okay.
Number five.
The Blues Brothers 1974 Dodge Monaro. I never knew the model of that car.
Neither did I.
To be honest.
It's a cop car.
Yeah. It's got cop shocks.
You picked me up in a cop
brakes.
Car.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they, yeah, well,
the Crown Vic used to
the
be
Bluesmobile.
was the cop car du jour,
which is
not
probably what all those Illinois cops were driving in that movie as well.
Right.
I think at the time when the Blues Brothers came out, they held the record for most car crashes.
Yes.
In a movie.
Yeah.
And they destroyed like over 100 cars or something along those lines. All right, number three on this list is, this is a lot of people's favorite, from Bullitt, the 1968 Ford Mustang GT390 Fastback.
Magnificent car.
Gorgeous car.
Magnificent sequence. When they start, so that, you know, he's following these hitmen, and they're playing a game of cat and mouse, and the guy puts on his driving gloves, they put on their seatbelts, and that whole sequence, which is around San Francisco, is amazing.
And I think it wasn't the Mustang, but maybe one of the other cars that was in the chase lost six hubcaps.
Yeah.
During the chase.
Right.
So that's noted. Number two, Casey, is the DeLorean from Back to the Future. The DMC 12 was the model of
that. How long were they in production, the DeLoreans?
That's a really good question.
It was a short time.
Not very long, yeah.
Again, I mean, listen, it wasn't a commercial for DeLoreans, but had they still been in production, you know, during and after that movie, they probably would have sold a ton more.
Yeah.
And maybe would have been able to stay in business.
How about that?
If you had that time travel feature, it certainly would have sold a lot more.
Yeah.
And then number one on this list is the James Bond 1963 Aston Martin DB5.
Just amazing. Mm-hmm. When he walks in that sequence in Goldfinger, where he walks over and he's introducing, this is Q, says to him, you know, he's your new car. I guess he'd been driving a Bentley before that. And all those things, which are now actually, a lot of it's just standard on cars.
Right.
But, yeah. Oh, my God, you can do that?
Only 2 years of production, Steve, for the DeLorean. 1981 and 1982, and then they stopped making them entirely in 1983.
Wow. Hang on, let's get some ones that aren't on the list. I'm going to go to Marcus. Hey, Marcus, good morning.
Good morning, Travis. How you feeling?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I was thinking about the one car that always excites me, and it's from a great action flick in the 80s. It's Stallone in the movie Cobra.
Ah.
The 1950 Mercury. It's just a mean, aggressive looking car. Like, that's the car you want to drive when you're about to go murder somebody.
And I want that car. Like a Mercury, please.
It was a 1959 Mercury.
It was a 1950, just a 1950 Merc. I can't tell you
that. Yeah, it was an old car. It looked pretty. It was pretty cool looking.
Right.
But yeah, I forgot about that.
It shoots fire out the back. Anything, you know?
It shot fire out the back?
Yeah, the fire exhaust.
He's driving a Dragon, so how can you not?
Okay, got it. All right, thanks, man. Of course, you always have
like a Toyota Corolla, please. Something that's good on gas and something that I can take the kids to school in, please. I want a couple of safety features and I want OnStar.
Excuse me, sir. You have a matchstick in your mouth.
I know. I'm the disease, and you're the cure. You're the cure. I'm the disease.
Wait.
What am I? No. He's what the disease. It?
What am I?
Am I
the you're disease the cure.
Or
the cure?
I'm the disease.
I'm the disease. You're the disease.
I'm selling you this car.
Then you're the cure.
Yes. Which would make
you're the cure to my disease. Which is my disease is I don't have a car.
But okay. If he buys it and now it's your car,
then I'm the cure to your disease because I've made you money.
You could get Cure auto insurance.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you are interested.
It's a crazy world we live in.
It is, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
All right.
I remember that, yeah.
Hang on, I want to go to Cindy. She's got a comment to make. Hey, Cindy, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Cindy, what's up?
I just want to say thank God you saved this conversation for Kathy's son, because yes. She would have been lost.
Kathy has been able to do her tax returns during this break, Cindy, and like, it's been good time for you, right?
Like zero interest whatsoever.
Is there no car, Cindy, is there a car in any movie or any TV show that you thought, man, that's a hot car, that's a car I'd like to have?
So I drive a Subaru, and I can tell you if I pass another Subaru, I recognize it, and that's about the extent of it.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Subaru's yeah. All right. There you go.
Thank you for sticking with us on this conversation.
That's what I was saying. Like, it is such a dude conversation that you guys could go, you know, this amount of time just talking about cars and movies.
Mm. But if you're going to do, like, top 25 crafts to buy at Hobby Lobby or things to buy at Marshall.
Oh, yeah, my yeah, God, yeah. Yes.
There we go.
I'm Cindy,
there.
Email me.
We'll talk about your favorite succulents later on.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cindy.
Favorite are obviously the big ones.
Here's a text that says, John DeLorean lived down the street from my cousins in Princeton, New Jersey. He was actually a really nice guy, but very weird.
Wasn't, I forget the whole DeLorean, the FBI sting, but there was, wasn't there a sale of drugs to, the company was falling on, financial difficulties, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was an FBI sting.
Yeah,
and
he was involved in like a coke ring, Steve. Yeah. I remember that.
I thought
yeah.
there was coke involved.
Right, yeah. yeah.
Okay. Hang on a second. Let me go to Jeff, who used to help design movie cars.
What?
I think, here. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You guys work.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, so what's your background?
All right, so I used to work for an inventor and an industrial design company, and I used to actually, what I did was I worked for the Danbury Mint up in Connecticut, where we designed die-cast collectible car models.
Okay.
And so what I used to do is go around the country and document and photograph race cars, movie cars, et cetera. And so when you were talking about the American graffiti cars, I got a chance to hang out with Paul LaMotte, who was the actor that played
John Milner. Yeah.
And I hung out with him and got a chance to check out and document the, you know, his yellow coupe, which actually still had all of the camera brackets still mounted all over the frame of it.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Hey, did he own that, Jeff?
He did not. He was good friends with a guy in San Francisco that owned... He had that coupe. He had Harrison Ford's 55 Bel Air from the movie. And I think it was, I forget, the white one that Ron Howard drove. I think it was a Thunderbird, maybe, but it was white with, like, red pinstripes.
Yeah, it was the car that Charlie Martin Smith bars to get laid. That's, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a cool-looking car,
that's
too.
That's funny. Wow.
Well, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Well, what scale was it? What scale were you doing these things in?
We were doing them in 1/24 scale.
Okay. Wow. Do you have a lot? Did you keep a lot?
I have a ton of pictures, as you could imagine.
Yeah.
And then I think I probably have about 20 or 30 different models of
all different types of, you know, classic cars, Corvettes, Bonnevilles, Ferraris, just all different types of stuff.
That's cool.
Nice, yeah. Man. Very cool. Thanks for the call, brother. We appreciate it.
Danbury, man.
I've seen this come up a couple of times text-wise. 1967 Camaro and Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
That's the Camaro I wanted.
Okay, that's the one you wanted?
I was a fan of Camaros, and either the 68 or 67 I thought were just the most intimidating looking cars ever made. They're just so cool.
You want something that looks badass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If
Kathy always says that.
Yeah, I mean, if I had the kind of money where I could have a couple of different like play cars, that would be the first one that I would have, 68 Camaro. Yep.
Nice. I was curious about that. They're looking to recast Kit for Knight Rider. And I don't know if they've made a full-on decision on that yet, or if they're going to come up with some kind of concept. And, you know,
that article seemed to suggest that they haven't as of yet.
Yeah.
And I think they're trying to get the public's input.
Yeah. I'm like super curious to see what number 26 on your list was, because you only did 25 down.
Oh, you want to?
Yeah,
I just
want
you can't leave us hanging, man.
Let's. National Lampoon's Animal House, 1964 Lincoln Continental MK2.
Yeah.
The star of the show is Flounders Brothers Lincoln Continental. This classy car starts off fine, but gets trashed on a road trip with Pinto, Boone, and Otter. The car ends up being fixed for the homecoming parade by D-Day, and it doesn't look much like the original.
It becomes the Deathmobile.
Yep, exactly. So that is the one.
Somebody had suggested, and they're not up there anymore, but that the an appropriate Kit would be a Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah, they might. Maybe they go electric.
Yeah.
Quite conceivable. Yeah. Or nuclear.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, why not?
So you get rear-ended and it detonates.
Right, exactly. All right, anyhow.
Like the Pintos.
Thanks for joining in. I appreciate it. We got to take a break. Want to remind you. You know what? In fact, I'm not going to remind you about anything. I'm going to give you tickets to see the Struts if you're caller number 20 right now. The show is tonight. 215-263-WMMR is the number, and it is the Live and Drive-In series at Citizens Bank Park. We saw Bert Kreischer on Sunday night. It's an amazing setup.
The setup is really, really top-notch.
Yep, so caller number 20, and keep in mind, it's you and three friends in your car at the event tonight, 215-263-WMMR. Tickets are on sale now via phillies.com/drive-in, or you can go to WMMR.com. You can get a list of other concerts, guidelines, all that stuff. So we'll be back in just a moment. Good luck to you. Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait. We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
In a little while, we're going to speak to a gentleman named Ben Hartranft, who was with us a while back for a charity event that's coming up. He has autism, and this is going to be benefiting the Eagles Autism Challenge. So we'll talk to him in a few minutes.
Great event.
Absolutely. But since we completely left Kathy in the dark in the last conversation about movie cars, I thought we'd throw something out there to bring her back. And she actually sent me this story.
All right. Well, it's almost guaranteed then.
Yeah. So it's about these toys called LOL dolls.
Yeah.
And there's a video. These dolls, apparently you dip them in water, in cold water, and then
images. Their outfits change.
Appear or change.
Yeah.
And some consider them to be inappropriate clothing, undergarments, and lingerie after you put them in the water.
So I have not seen pictures of these. And so do they actually look, like...
I saw there was one outfit that looked kind of strappy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know.
Yes. I mean, come on. A little
No, that is a little...
It looks like an S&M outfit.
That's a little S&M-y.
That's the one. I saw a woman dip about five or six of them in there, and that's the only one that came up where I was like,
that looks like a dominatrix.
Yeah.
So here's one. There's one, too. It kind of has like a fishnet bra or like tank top more, not a bra.
Okay.
So what's the idea with these characters? Are they actually hookers?
No, they're just little dolls, but the big thing about them is a surprise. You get a surprise.
So when you dip them in the water, their clothes disappear?
No, they appear.
They appear?
Yes.
Oh, so they become dressed when you dip them in the water.
Yeah, it's like just something on their body. And I think they come with clothes and stuff like that. They're like, this whole thing has been, you know, it's supposed to be a surprise. And I guess this is just a new way to surprise the kids. Look, lingerie.
Do they start naked?
Yeah, they start naked, Case. Yeah,
well,
exactly.
At least you're putting clothes on.
I know. That's what I'm thinking, too.
No, you can dress them up and let them wear clothes and stuff. They're dolls.
Hey, put their S&M outfit on.
Yeah.
They're naked, but they're not. They don't show, like, nipples and, you know, pubic hair. Well, they're babies, so they wouldn't have pubic hair, I guess.
I think that they do show a little, like.
Are you, they have a baby muff?
No, not. No, not.
Did you just say baby muff?
Well, that would be horrific.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would be horrific.
Baby muff.
Baby muff.
It's disgusting.
No. Where do you look? Where are you showing me?
There's like a little like hole. Like it is a little bit.
What is it with these?
I can't tell from that.
Who's making these things?
Who's
Lou?
Who's Lou?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, there's a lot of that in the news, Preston. You got these dolls. You got the trolls, the world tour dolls. You've seen that, right?
Yeah, it had a sensor on it that there was a little nub that some people got in a tizzy about because I guess they thought it was anatomically the love button on a woman.
It's in the crotch area.
Right.
Yeah, so it's the button is on the crotch area, and when you push it, you get a sounds that some have said sound rather orgasmic.
Yeah, so here's a clip of that.
And if you look right here on her privates, and if you push those, she makes these sounds.
That's Kristen Bell, by the way.
Is it?
Doing the, making sounds, the noises.
Like a gasping sound? This is wrong.
This is wrong.
It's just there. And it makes a gasping sound when you touch her privates. And to me, it's just like sexual sounds. And it's so disturbing.
Oh, shut up.
You're down with it. You think it's
I don't think it's blatantly you know, to sexualize children or anything like that.
So why do you think they put the button there?
I'd read an article about it, and I'll have to relook it up.
I wonder if there were other places they could have put the button.
I don't know. They probably I thought it was a
like the back.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the back is a broad area to stick an orgasm button.
Hang on a second. Let me go to Brian. Hey Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, bitches?
Just taking your call, man. What'd you want to share with us?
These dolls are anatomically correct to the male and the female.
Are you talking about the LOL dolls?
Yes, I am, because my granddaughter, she has hundreds of them.
Okay.
So with the male, what is there a unit?
There's a package.
There's a package.
There is a package.
Is it just
for
like
the male doll?
Is it like a bump or is it? Can you?
No,
is it
it's actually. You,
look, it's right here. Package. I have a picture of it.
Hold on, we're looking at a photo of it right now. Yeah, sure enough.
Yeah,
anatomically correct. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so, and that's about.
So they're supposed to be babies. Like you remember, you know, if you get a baby doll, there are some that are anatomically correct. But these
that
are really
correct.
Tiny. These are like can fit in the palm of your hand.
Exactly. And my granddaughter, she. Every weekend I'm buying her like tons of them, but you know, that's what she loves, and you know, I know she's a kid, she's 7, but I mean, she has hundreds of them.
Okay, so they're popular, they're super popular.
She doesn't dip them in the cold water and then get all that other. She has the clothes, she dresses them.
One of the dolls looks like looks like Wesley Snipes from Demolition Man.
You're right. It's got the different colored hair.
Yeah.
You're right. We're looking at that. All right, thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
No
but I don't think all of them you dip in water.
Yeah,
I think there's certain kinds that you get, right?
Yeah, there's different kinds, and I think this was just their like next iteration of your surprise.
Yeah. This woman who did it said, yeah, she dipped it in cold water. The doll displayed wearing a strappy black top and pants. One displayed fishnet stockings and a purple bikini top.
All of our dolls as kids were completely, I mean, G.I. Joe was nothing. No nipples, no junk, no nothing. It was all right.
You know what I think might
have
been?
Did any doll have any?
You know what I think might have been the first anatomically correct baby doll, Steve, believe it or not, was on Archie Bunker when Gloria and Michael had a baby that was part of the TV show. And I think you remember on TV shows they would create
it was baby Stivic. It was their kid's name?
I've forgotten.
And the whole purpose was that to sort of teach that to kids.
Like you're raising a child. And I think that might have been the first.
What was that kid's name?
It was a boy.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, Steve, but Nick, you're going to have to look
it up. Meathead Stivic. That's what it was. Baby Meathead.
The Ken Barbie doll, though, it wasn't necessarily anatomically correct, but there was a bump there.
Was there?
Was there a bump?
There was a little bump. And then Barbie
had a feeling down around there
and
for?
And Barbie had a butt. There was nothing in the
Barbie
front.
Barbie had a butt.
It was a crease. It wasn't like couldn't.
Cabbage Patch Babies had butts.
Cabbage Patch Babies had butts.
Yeah, they had.
The signature was on their butt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it Joey, Steve?
Joey, that was it. Joey Stivic was an anatomically correct baby.
Yeah. Did they make a doll out of that, Nick? Can you see if you can find information about that?
Sure. Yeah. Look.
All right. Hang on. I'm going to go to Clayton. Hi, Clayton.
Hey, guys. How the hell's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Not much. All right, little topic on the LOL dolls. I had a little incident with those guys.
Okay.
Or girls, as I should say. So my wife purchased about five of them for a good Mennonite friend of mine that I work for a tree company. And so we wrapped them up. I didn't look at them. She looked at them. We take them to this party. My good Mennonite friend goes and opens them up. He just takes them quietly, walks to the fire pit, starts ripping them apart, and lighting them on fire.
They burned them?
Jeez.
He straight boycotted them so much so that the next day went into his church to tell everybody how horrible those dolls are.
Okay.
So obviously they knew, I guess they'd known about them prior to that, or were they just immediately stunned? Because
He was immediately stunned. I mean, his face looked like he saw a ghost. It smacked him and then just took him down to the ground. I mean, was mortified at the clothing.
Well, who's giving those to Mennonites? You know, you kind of know the S&M outfit on the one of them. I mean, everyone can make their choice, but these at least are a little provocative in some aspect. So,
they just
incinerated them.
Incinerate. If I ever bring him another gift like that again, he will ban me completely.
Wow! So the law was laid down. Okay, so we're looking.
The law was laid down.
All right,
thanks, man.
So okay. don't bring these dolls to the Mennonite gathering.
Obviously, because of the doll, you think it's geared towards kids.
Yeah.
Is this though? I mean,
is it?
Are they selling these in Toys R Us, or is this something?
What are you talking about? The LOL dolls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it something that is sold at like Spencer's?
No, they're a kid's toy. They're all over. They're a Target.
Okay.
Hang on, Nick. Next, so Preston.
Yeah, Preston, your recollection is pretty accurate. In 1976, the Ideal Toy Company released a 14-inch Joey Stivic doll, and it was called Archie Bunker's Grandson. It was billed as the first anatomically correct male doll, and apparently inspired a bit of controversy at the time, and it's a collector's item because some stores wouldn't sell them.
It was always pitched as a like a learning a doll, and that was part of the deal. And it was also a racist, I remember, the baby, right? Just like
I don't know about that.
I mean, the face of it looks like Archie. Was it supposed to look like Archie Bunker?
It does look like Archie Bunker. That's what kills me. Mm-hmm. I mean, why, the whole thing is, and Archie Bunker's on the box. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's like a dingbat doll.
But there's always some toy that, at least each year, right, that causes some kind of controversy.
Always. And sometimes they're a little bit more overt, and sometimes they're kind of like
that. But these have been out for a long time. That's why it's a little surprising that they're a very popular toy among, the kids, and now this is happening.
Yeah. I don't think these companies necessarily do that on purpose, because why would you want to ruin a good thing?
Yeah.
You are selling loads and loads of merchandise, and you would not. Clearly, the most important thing is making money when it comes to retail.
If you want to keep them out there on the shelves, But you remember years ago, there was an Aurora, the toy model line, had a torture chamber. You remember that?
Yeah.
And that was controversial.
like Fangoria magazine and stuff like that, well, models, right?
Yeah, you would. You'd had the Pit and the Pendulum. You had the victim, the woman in the cage, and you had all of this stuff. It was supposed to be a diabolical torture chamber, and you built all the models and collected them all together, and then after a while, somebody got wind of it, and they discontinued. I had like three pieces in it.
Right.
I had the Pit and the Pendulum, you know?
Yeah.
And they discontinued them.
Was it marketed to kids?
Yeah, it was. Okay. They were kids' toys. A torture chamber.
Little noose and all that stuff.
Was, I wish, if you can find some pictures of it, it was the torture chamber kit, you know? And okay. It was meant to replicate the classic torture chamber.
Well, okay. Well, right now they just deal in sexual stuff.
That's all they're going for. G-spots and stuff like that.
These days. So it's the LOL dolls and then the troll dolls. And I guess, did the trolls get yanked?
I haven't heard them pulled off the shelves. This woman and a number of others noted that the button was placed in the happy zone.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know what the story is.
Somebody texted and said this doll's been out for 5 years and they've always changed
the button.
That's all it says. No. Talking about the LOL dolls.
Oh, okay.
Hang on a second here. Let me go to Daryl. Hey, Daryl, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, Daryl. What's up, buddy?
I was going to say a long time ago, probably like back in the 70s, there used to be a store called Two Guys. They sold a doll called Growing Up Skipper.
Okay.
When you turned her arm, not only did she get taller, her breasts got bigger.
Her breasts got bigger?
Yes.
And this, why do I sort of remember this? And you said it was the Skipper doll?
Growing up.
Yeah, it was called Growing Up Skipper, and I'll be honest, it was not out very long. About a month or two, and it was already off the shelf.
I wonder why. Okay, we're looking at a commercial for it here.
Yeah.
All right, and then...
When you turn the arm, the boobs get bigger.
Yeah, the boobs are getting bigger. That's funny.
Dude, and it does get taller.
Yeah. Okay, so it's meant to simulate puberty.
Right, and the way puberty really works, by lowering your arms.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, don't lower your arms, Joey. Not yet.
I'll be honest, I have no idea what it's worth, but I have one put away, collectors.
Seriously?
Dude, yeah.
You've never looked up the value on it?
No, I haven't. I don't know why. You guys just brought it to my attention. I never thought about it in years.
All right, so let me ask you, is it in the original package?
Oh, yeah.
If it's in the original package, I guarantee you're probably looking at something that's worth a lot of money, because I watch Collector's Corner with Liesl Welchel.
Is that
and,
right?
And the original packaging really means everything.
Hey, Daryl, do you have a lot of things like that?
No, not like that.
This is the only doll he actually married. Yeah. No,
I mean,
but
I have an original Thundercat sword, but it doesn't grow when you do anything.
All right, the Growing Up Skipper doll. I found one on untouched and in package on eBay, $250.
Well, let's put it this way. Remember, I'm like 54 now, so I was a kid back then. So we did remove it from package.
Okay.
Oh. We almost wore the heck out of the arm because we were like amazed.
Of course.
How big you would grow.
Let me ask you, on prom night, were you raising and lowering your date's arm all night?
I kept trying to move her right arm. She said, what are you doing? I said, oh, just experimenting.
All right, here's one that's out of the package. It's $64. Right. So,
hey, that was cheaper than like the $8.99 it sold for.
Yep, imagine the pitch session for that toy, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me. We need a doll whose knockers get bigger.
Yeah,
$64. It's funny, and we've talked about this before. But the things you hang on to, hoping they're going to appreciate in value over the time, and they're nothing.
There was
nothing.
So on that show, they show you the importance of original packaging. And a lot of you get this stuff because you want to screw around with it. I mean, this doll in particular might be a little creepy, but if you get toys and stuff like that. But if you have it in the original packaging, if you have it signed, for example, if it's something associated with a celebrity and the celebrity has signed it and you have a picture of that signing, then the value skyrockets.
Right.
If it's something worth a damn.
Does that include Doc Gooden baseball cards?
They did an entire special called The Disaster of the Doc Gooden Memorabilia.
I would think that controversial toys, too, would definitely be worth something, right? Because...
Sure. The ones that were... I guarantee you these torture chamber toys would definitely be a lot in their original packaging. And there were always ones that were getting pulled off the shelf. What was the one that actually sounded like it was saying F you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot it. I don't remember what that was exactly, but yeah.
Was it just a joke of the... of the burnt up corpses of Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru by Kenner.
I think it was. Okay. Though I thought it was hilarious.
I think so.
I don't. Did they ever actually make those, or was that just a joke?
Well, for example, we got promotional figures for the Invisible Man movie.
Yeah. All right,
and it was just an empty container on the with the cardboard backing. But you know, I thought it was hilarious.
What's the most disturbing toy that you can remember?
Oh, I had a Charlie McCarthy doll, but not. I mean, it's not.
Well,
like,
it was just freaky.
I hated that.
Yeah, because ventriloquist dummies. The ones that were like, I can't believe they made a toy of this.
Hmm.
Yeah, I had a Charlie McCarthy as well, Case. Eventually, when you got tired of it, did you kind of rip it apart and pull its head out and stuff like that?
I used to beat the crap out of that.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Take it by its feet.
Did it scare you?
Yeah.
I had a number of, at a Charlie McCarthy, I had two Danny O'Days. I love ventriloquism as a kid.
Okay.
And you find out quickly that no one else does.
Yeah,
so
right.
They don't want to see your stupid ventriloquism or your magic tricks.
Uh-huh.
But anything come to mind for you that was a corrupt or just corrupting toy?
I didn't have anything personally that I owned that freaked me out.
Well, you know, in the early days of G.I. Joe, they would have help Joe kill the Nazi, you know, and you had the Germans and the Japanese soldiers that he was warring against. It was World War II.
Yeah.
And so you would get the enemy. You'd get the enemy soldiers.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I remember that. That was weird.
Hang on here. There's a guy on the line. I'm going to go to Eric. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
You guys rock.
Thank you, Eric. All right, so your buddy makes toys?
It's not my buddy. There's a guy on Facebook. His thing is called, like, TDK some number customs. It's, like, supposed to be, like, a Stormtrooper number. Anyway, he makes custom action figures. And he is responsible for the burnt-up Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. They exist. But they're super expensive. They're like, he does it off a thing printer, a 3D printer. They're like $200, $300 a piece.
Oh, my God.
He also has something. It's like Alderaan after it blew up. Like, it's like a box of rocks or something. Like rocks. He's got zombie stormtroopers. They're half. He'll even, Preston, all you guys, he could even take a picture of you, put it in his thing, and make you whatever character. It doesn't even necessarily have to be Star Wars. He does this thing like Behind the Mask where he'll do things of like Jeremy Bullock, who was Boba Fett in the costume, and they'll have his mask off in his hand, and it'll be Jeremy Bullock's head.
Wow.
He did one for John Williams. He's all over the place. He gets him signed.
So he's doing this custom work on demand, and how's his business?
Hey, this dude, he, like, when I first discovered him, I guess within 4 months he was selling. I mean, I couldn't even put a number on it. Every day it was like, oh, thank you for my custom work, or I got my custom work, or here's this custom piece I got signed by Peter Mayhew, or, yeah, like, I mean, oh, he's got...
Wow, man.
This is the Peter Mayhew. He's got one as Chewbacca with the mask off, and he even put the black stuff around his eyes, the makeup that they use when he puts his thing on so you can't see his eye. This dude is amazing. He's just ridiculously expensive.
Well, I would imagine. You take, like, hardcore Star Wars fans, like a Patton Oswalt or somebody who's got the money. I guarantee you they would buy. Who wouldn't buy a burned Aunt Beru? Right.
I didn't know how much he was charging. I sent my wife the link. She was like, are you out of your mind? I was like, what are you talking about? And I forget what I said her for, but the dude wasn't like $250, $300 for one figure.
You know what? We were talking about the movie.
Thanks, bud.
I was,
hey, no problem. Have a good one. Sure.
So what character, if you were to have a custom-made replica of a character from a movie, you know, like, just like...
What, like life-size or something?
No,
or?
Like small doll figure. Like the Aunt Beru thing is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I mean, were you just... Who is that?
I don't know. I my mind was starting to wander into disturbing toys again. I'm sorry, I'll come back to that.
Oh, please, yeah.
But my sister used to have the, I guess it was a Barbie head.
Yes.
Like just a life-size head.
To learn your hair,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you do the hair and the makeup.
I'll tell you one that was terrifying.
Like that.
Just the head.
Yeah,
the head. The one where you would literally yank the hair.
Out,
pull the hair out.
Her hair would grow.
Yeah, you would pull it out
and
of her skull.
They could make it shorter, yeah.
Yeah. And then how would you get the hair shorter? By pulling down on her pubic hair, right?
No,
right,
it had something to do with the legs and the arm, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Apparently over there at Barbie, they think everything happens because you raise and lower your arm.
Okay. You know what? I'm trying to think of what would be a... well, I mean, listen. They make disturbing action figures, as
sure,
you know.
I have a ton of them, yeah.
Well, you know, like Hannibal Lecter and so
yes,
on. You can get
Pinhead.
All kinds of messed up things.
But the things that are that end up being troubling or frightening that they're trying to market to kids.
Yeah, there aren't supposed to be.
Casey, Ray Brower, his corpse.
So, oh, God. I was wondering.
From Stand By Me.
Because I immediately went to
Which is the kid they went to see who got hit by the train, yeah. The dead kid. If you're going to have I'll have a Ray Brower.
It's my Stand By Me collectible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the dead body they found.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I immediately. Or, like, I went to, like, my favorite movies of all time. I couldn't. Ray Brower would be perfect. Somebody like Large Marge when she's in the middle of the.
How about Gwyneth Paltrow's head in a box?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Seven. Mm-hmm.
In the box.
Yeah.
I like it. What's in the box?
Hey. Hi, honey.
Yeah.
When are you going to be home for dinner?
Oh, that'd be a good Halloween costume, wouldn't it?
Gwyneth Paltrow in a box.
Well, you could, you know, yeah. Put a box around your head.
Sure. What's in the box?
A girl could, and yeah, you could be Brad Pitt.
It's your wife's head.
Instead of trying to dissuade
you weren't even entertaining the notion of trying to
yeah.
soften that a bit.
Yeah.
Where you asked.
Yeah. I mean, he's Morgan Freeman. I mean,
hey, look at this. It's your wife's head in a box.
You couldn't come buy me a cup of coffee or something?
I'm going to go to Duncan. Hey, Duncan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Good. Hey, so I used to work in a toy company. A lot of people don't realize it, but the greater Philadelphia area designed a lot of the toys in the world up in outskirts of Philadelphia. But anyways, we would do such brands as like Toy Story, Madballs, Stink Blasters, and all this other stuff.
Wow. So manufactured or developed and all of it?
We develop it, like, and it all gets manufactured overseas, but we develop it just like the movie Big. Like, we sit in the room and say, this is broken, this won't work. Cause it looks weird.
That is cool. That you know, obviously, as you well know, I am a fan of toys and collectibles like that. Is it a joy for you, or does it get to be, is there a downside to the job?
Well, I'm a contractor now, and I work remotely, but there was a funny one where I wasn't on this project, but it was Toy Story. It was a life-size Buzz Lightyear doll, a big, 2-foot-tall one.
Mm.
And the fingers were all movable. And what they found out were the kids were putting up the middle fingers.
It's always a liability. Fingers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who makes the, I see them, and I don't know if they're made specifically for this, but you'll see the trucks driving around with Woody hanging off the back of the truck.
Yeah, those are great.
I love seeing that. Now, are they made specifically, or are they just taking Woody toys and stuff like that?
I think they're just taking,
yeah. Yep. The last one, too, I did, like, kids' toys that smelled really bad, like human and all this other stuff. But I guess the funny one is water babies. I guess I don't know if it's...
What are water babies?
It's basically you put warm water in this doll, and it's supposed to feel like it's alive. And we would joke around putting hot chili in it.
God, that's sort of creepy.
I love it, man.
Wow. So the idea was the baby was supposed to feel alive.
I guess so. It felt like it was, you know.
Like a water birth.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Thanks, Duncan.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
I appreciate it.
Who's in the box?
One more quick call.
It's your wife's head.
Let me go to Laura. Hey, Laura. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey,
how is everyone?
Good. What's up, Laura?
I just heard you talking about the Barbie head. I actually had, it was a Brooke Shields head.
What? Brooke Shields' head?
Oh, no, I feel like I remember this.
And what was even worse is this thing looked like it had hair plugs. It didn't even have, like, a full luscious head of hair to play with. It was this, like, horrible doll hair just poked in there.
And it would teach you, I guess, how to do hair, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I was very little. I was maybe, like, 4 when my family member bought it for me, so I didn't even know what the heck it was anyway.
Preston, it's like the Barbie head.
Okay.
Yes, it was just like that.
Oh, my God.
I mean, these That's things disturbing. Are creepy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess time period-wise, it was the early 80s, so yeah.
Yeah, but okay.
Well, the first time so they did this was with the full Gene Stapleton head, the Edith Bunker head.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So little girls
Archie,
could...
I do my hair, Archie!
Thanks, Laura.
Nat, let me ask you a question. Do you think that, you know, because you talk about these toys that are modeled after human beings, now porn stars have these fleshlights.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That are made. Do you think they actually mold their private parts and do that, or they just, like, take a standard?
The ethical ones do.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you mold your privates.
Well, you take a whole bunch of modeling clay,
right?
And you
that's
do
a good question.
Yeah,
like I mean, guys, I understand that because you can right. mold around, but like a girl's, I don't understand.
Here's what you do: you pull it inside out, wrap the clay around it, and then pop it back in.
No, they probably only mold the outside, and okay. then they have to improv when it gets to the interior portion of it.
I imagine it to look something like this,
but I mean. You know,
it's like the way they build dinosaurs. They don't know everything.
How drastically different do they all look to wear iron?
I think they're all
pious. I don't know.
I mean, look, we found out recently that many dinosaurs might have had some sort of a version of feathers.
Like, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. So
for all we know,
many vaginas have feathers.
Yeah, they might. Dude, she had feathers down there.
Really?
Can you not?
Well, this is my fleshlight. So.
Interesting. Well, these LOL dolls, they're you know, every year there's always something where a toy pops up and it's got something suggestive. And that happens to be the one right now. So just thought we'd share that. I want to take a break because we've got B-File stories. We've got more coming up in a little bit. We're going to have another chance for you to win tickets to see the Struts tonight. I'll tell you when to call in for those. It's a live-in drive-in, Citizens Bank Park. But real quick, I also want to thank our friends at Linden Italian Market for feeding us today and for catering needs.
It's great.
Locals have been coming into Linden for years for generous portions of Linda's homemade salads and meatballs. And the town's favorite hoagies and sandwiches, including her signature South Philly Italian hoagie and Linden Club. So we thank them for stopping by this morning. We're going to come back in a moment. We have a few people to talk to before the show is up today. And prizes galore. Tell you about that more when we get back. Stay with us.
Hey, gang. Obviously, this year's been very different.
No, really? You don't say.
Anyway, the 15th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive is a go. But it's going to be a bit different, too.
It's happening Friday, August 21st.
And there will be three donation centers. The Fillmore in Philadelphia.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks.
And the FOP Lodge in Northeast Philly.
The Red Cross is always in need, but especially so during this health crisis. So make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Listen, the process is safe, and it follows all social distancing guidelines, which is why both appointments and face masks are mandatory.
Register for our I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. And yes, you'll get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt as our thanks.
From the American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region,
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
We're going to do the B-File, and then we got some people to talk to.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Hers. Pick up specially marked bags of Hers today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summer.hers.com. Hers, forever good. We'll start with this. The Gotthard Pass in the Swiss Alps is a picturesque part of the world, but it was snapped out of its peaceful slumber by an unfortunate and particularly expensive motor vehicle accident. How expensive, you may ask? Well, the crash involved a motorhome, a Mercedes-Benz C-Class wagon, a Porsche 911 Cabriolet, and a Bugatti Chiron.
Oh, my God.
And on its own, a new Chiron is worth at least $3 million. The total damage amounted to 3.7 million francs, or over $4 million in this accident alone.
So what started? What set it in motion?
The report alleges that the motorhome, which was presumably slow-moving, was holding up traffic on the mountain pass. The Chiron, the Bugatti driver, had apparently was right at the back and tried to overtake all the cars at the same time that the Porsche did, which saw two cars collide. The Porsche then hit the Mercedes, and the Bugatti also hit the motorhome. Although the 911 received the worst damage, the Mercedes driver appears to have been the only one to sustain serious injuries and was later rushed to the hospital. Fortunately, no lives were lost in the accident, which could have been much worse considering the type of road that it was on.
Well, oddly enough, the Herbie the Love Bug replica did just fine.
Oh, good.
The Chiron sustained significant damage to the grille, front bumper, and hood. However, the 911 came off the worst, as much of its front end was destroyed. In the video shared on Instagram, both the Bugatti and the Porsche were shown with the front airbags having deployed. So it was a $4 million car crash.
My God. We're looking at the footage.
Yeah. It doesn't take much damage to cost you a lot of money when you're talking about supercars. Wow. A former Shippensburg University student filed a federal lawsuit against the school, claiming the administrators did nothing to assist her when she told him that she was being sexually harassed by her female supervisor, an assistant dean, who continually pressured the student to join her in group sex. The student says her repeated refusal to engage in the sexual activity led to her termination from her graduate studies program. The student claims in January of 2019, the assistant dean approached her, asking if she would engage in a menage a trois with her and a man. The student denied the request and soon after took her concerns to the dean of OPCDE. The lawsuit states that before she could cite any details, the dean told her that she did not want to hear about it. Following no action, the student says the sexual advances continued between 2 and 4 times a week, including showing her photographs and text messages of a sexual nature.
2 to 4 times a week?
That's what she said. Around April of that year, the student and supervisor went on a business trip to Philadelphia where the student was shown more nude photos of her engaging in activities with various men. The lawsuit states when the student replied she did not want to see the photos, she was met with extreme disappointment and warned that she could be fired from her role as a director of testing if she did not respect obey her boss, the assistant dean. The lawsuit claims the student again approached the dean to discuss the incidents during and after the trip, only for the dean to tell her that she did not want to hear it because the woman in question was her friend. Later that year in August, the student again joined her supervisor on a work-related conference, this time in New Orleans. The assistant dean asked for a room key to her room in case, quote, I want to visit in the middle of the night. After firmly telling her no, the woman confronted the student in front of other attendees at the conference by yelling and cursing that she would not have a job when she returned to the campus.
I'm trying to have a three-way with you.
Yeah, the assistant dean told everyone that she was no longer employed with the university. Again, the student went to the dean to tell her the events that happened on the trip, but the dean refused to hear her story. Eventually, it led to this lawsuit, which is taking place, but it goes on for a while after that. But
wow.
She was pushing real hard.
That's
for this
insane.
Yeah, and
when do you finally take no as an answer?
That's right. You would think pretty quickly. All right, Bay Area. This is in San Francisco. Bay Area Rapid Transit.
That tattling town.
To Twitter to educate riders on airflow in their cars amid concerns about COVID-19 spread, but the controversial soon turned scatological. BART has, that's the Bay Area Rapid Transit.
That's right. It's also the sun on the Simpsons.
Has been hit hard by the pandemic. Ridership's on 89% drop compared to their budget projections. While this is largely due to residents working from home and not requiring a daily commute to the city, there are also concerns about the viral spread in the car. To address these fears, BART tweeted out schematic diagrams of the car and its filtration system.
Don't have a cow, man.
On Thursday.
Very topical, Tony.
Yeah, I know them all.
Claiming that
I do a hell of a church lady, too.
That air filtered more effectively than an office or grocery store. Now,
cowabunga.
Residents really wanted to know about what was a little more puerile. And somebody had tweeted saying, all we really want to know is how long will it take for the new system to filter out a fart out of the car. BART actually replied to the question and more. They said about 70 seconds, maybe longer if you laid a real monster of a fart or sharted yourself.
Well, that's a very comprehensive answer.
Exactly.
I give them credit for that.
You will, definitely. The agency had replied.
Crack the window so you can smell all the poop. I got to smell the fart in the car. Open those windows so we can smell the piles of San Franciscan poop.
It's all over the streets.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks to BART.
Later tweets reassured riders that the much maligned wool cloths that were seen as germ havens are a thing of the past. That's what you used to sit on, the wool cloth. So apparently,
great wool.
Yeah, nice wool. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right, we have a guest on the line. He was in our studio a while back.
Yes.
To talk about the Eagles Autism Challenge. He's a great young man, and he himself has autism, and he is doing what's the Ben and Jay Show fundraiser at Rita's in Montgomeryville, and it'll be this Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. So we would like to welcome back to the program Ben Hartramp to the show. Hey, how you doing, Ben?
Good to see you. Good. It's actually for the Eagles Autism Challenge, and I can explain the show in a little bit later when we talk more into the show.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And what, you have it coming up on Friday?
This Friday night, if you want to come on out, Rita's in Montgomeryville, right on Horsham Road. We're having a fundraiser, 6 to 9 p.m. 20% of the proceeds go directly to Eagles Autism Challenge. And I actually started a show during the pandemic.
Okay.
Called the Ben and Jay Show. Nice. When I worked for Access Services. And we did it out of our own hearts. And we're just looking for people to, like, understand more about autism. And we go around, we interview different people. We interview people from Hollywood. We interview people from Pixar and different other people that I met.
That's great.
That's excellent, man. Ben, what have you, now you, by the way, you'd mentioned, now I'd mentioned earlier, you have autism. Who's your co-host on the Ben and Jay Show?
My co-host is Jamel Owens. He is a great, great man. He has a son with autism.
Okay.
He actually started a podcast called The Awesome Show. And he is a great, great guy. He grew up in North Philly, and he is, and his son has autism. His name is Shane.
Okay. And you guys will actually be doing your show from that, Rita's?
Yeah, we're doing Man on the Street. You guys are welcome to come.
Nice. Listen, the adjustment of Rita's is enough.
Yeah. We have a blood drive taking place that day, so we're going to be busy with our own charity event, but we're happy to send people out to this as well. And there's going to be some... while people are purchasing, some of the proceeds are going to go to the Autism Challenge, correct?
Eagles Autism Challenge, yes.
Excellent, man. Hey, how's your summer been, Ben?
Good. It's been a lot of fun. We should really stay connected. I love being on this show. It's a lot of fun. I have a lot more events coming up in the next couple of next month. We actually have an event called the Ben and Jay Show Game Night, virtual game night on September 10th. I can send you more information about that as well.
Yeah, please do. We'll put it up on the webpage and get the word out. So, see, that's the bet. You're staying busy. That's good.
Yeah. We're just looking for, like, funding for the show. We did it out of our own hearts. And we're just trying to get back to the community. It was my vision and my friend Jamel's vision on really doing a show on giving back to the community. And we're into our 20, we're in the 20 shows right now.
Nice.
So it's been really, really cool.
What do you guys, what do you usually talk about on the Ben and Jay Show?
We talk about, like, autism, and we talk with different guests. We actually had, like, people from, we actually had, I don't know if you heard of Chuck Mound. He was a football coach for the Eagles.
Okay.
He was on my show.
Nice. That's excellent.
He's getting some damn good guests.
Yeah, they're you know, and obviously the Eagles are a big supporter of Ben. That's really cool. All right, well, listen, man, we have another guest we have to get to, but we want to make sure that we got you on real quick.
And don't forget Friday night, come on out to yep. Rita's Water Rights for Eagles Autism Challenge. And don't forget about the Ben and Jay Show every Friday night, 7 to 8:30. And if you want to be a guest on my show, you could send me an email and I'd give you more information about our events coming up.
All right, so Ben, and it's at the Rita's in Montgomeryville, which is on Horsham Road, right?
Horsham Road, right on Horsham Road. And then if anybody wants to come on out, they can say hello.
All right, this Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Ben, good to hear from you, man. Good luck
Thank
with everything.
You guys.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, sells it like a champ.
Ben's awesome. He was, I met him at, it was at North Penn High School.
Right.
And he was really involved when it was his senior year that I met him, and he came over and introduced myself. He's like, "Hey, I want to come on your show, man." You know, he's a super nice guy, so he's doing great stuff. He's working really, really hard. That's cool. All right, we have another hardworking gentleman who is on the line, and he has got Magic for Humans at Home. And I can't wait to find out what this is all about, because I've loved his projects in the past. Obviously, he's been here in our studio and done some really great mentalism stuff and obviously sleight of hand and things like that, but he's a comedian, he's a host,
he's a consultant and let's call him a star of the very, very beginning of Magic Camp,
which we've both watched.
I watched on Friday night.
It was good.
I enjoyed it, and I cried at the end. I'll tell them all about it.
Yeah.
But you can find Magic for Humans on Netflix.
Netflix is the new service.
It's a spinoff.
Yeah.
That's the only place you could get work. No, come on. It's on Netflix. Please welcome Justin Willman. Yeah, Justin.
How's it going? Good morning. Netflix.
Netflix. It's all the rage.
And Disney, please.
Man, all the pay services, you're rocking them all. That's pretty cool.
You got to diversify. Times are weird.
Yeah.
Times are weird.
Well,
you cried too. I cried too at the end of Magic Camp.
I couldn't believe it. It's very touching. I knew they were set right from the beginning when you found out that the dad was his magic idol, and you just knew you were going to be set up, and I said, I'm not going to cry, and you do. It gets you.
I'm a sucker for these things.
It feels good to cry.
It does. When you, and I don't know if I'm the only one here, but when you try and hold it in, it kind of hurts my throat a little bit.
It makes you pee-pee a little.
And I have to hold it in because my wife is very well aware of how easily touched I get at these movies, and she just can't wait to look over and then make fun of me for crying.
She makes fun of you for crying?
Listen, rightfully so.
You know what? Withhold sex.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it. Yeah. You're killing me here!
All right, but Justin, you were a consultant on that film?
Yeah, so the movie's called Magic Camp. They've been working on it for a while, and I went to Magic Camp when I was, 13. And so I lived this magic nerd, adolescence. So, which is not why they reached out to me specifically, but I had this experience, and I think I kind of consulted the writers on the script as it went through different drafts just to make sure it felt real and it wasn't kind of some Hollywood fabrication. But then the crazy part is they had to, pull off these tricks, figure out how to actually teach these non-magician actors how to look like they've been doing magic. And it was, the kids were incredible. Like, all the magic you see in the movie is the kids actually doing.
Are you kidding? Because
CGI or camera tricks.
That was my question right at the beginning of all of this, because I'm watching, my wife and I are watching it. And they looked really adroit at what they were doing. And so they were actually pulling off those tricks live.
Yeah, we started working with the kids about 3 months before we started shooting, and we kind of had a little mini magic boot camp. I put together a team of magicians, and we just went to town. Teaching these kids the magic was they were like a sponge. The hard part was teaching, Jeffrey Tambor magic, because it's, old dog, new tricks. It didn't compute, so we had to kind of keep figuring out ways to simplify the tricks a little bit, so that he can emphasize the personality. But I'm glad you guys love it. I wasn't a father when we made it. We made it 3 years ago, and now the ending really gets me in a new level. It caught me off guard.
Being a dad. It was made 3 years ago?
It was made 3 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I guess they're going through everything to make sure that, there's, as things have...
Just to show you how slow things move.
Yeah.
One day I took a break from set to go to Netflix to pitch Magic for Humans. And now 3 seasons have aired before this movie even came out.
Oh, that's pretty wild. You know what? I also find it's pretty ironic. So Jillian Jacobs is one of the stars. It's Adam Devine and Jillian Jacobs and Jeffrey Tambor are the adults in the main adults in the movie. But if you've ever watched a movie or a show called Love on Netflix, she plays a character who was brought to the Magic Castle. And her character hates being there. She just doesn't like magic. And I think that it's really funny that she is this world-class magician in Magic Camp. And I don't know if you have seen Love before? Did you know about that whole story arc?
When you go to the basement and she sees the magician do a card trick, I'm that magician.
Yes! Oh, yes, you are! Oh, my God.
Yeah. How about that for small? Yeah.
So
I thought that's what you were brilliantly setting up. I was like, wow.
He said he was
with string and push pins, and he's piecing it all together.
Yeah, prior to this interview, he said, I'm going to bring up this thing and act as if I didn't know that was Justin. Go along with it.
Yeah, no, that was the first thing that she and I talked about, because, she was like, I feel bad. All my roles are me, making fun of magicians. So she's finally able to, make it right.
For adults who, I don't have kids, and I watch The Descendants, I watch all this stuff because there's something seriously wrong with me, but I find all this stuff wonderful. And in this case, they play a lot on the Las Vegas magicians in Magic Camp and David Blaine and David Copperfield and there's a whole, the opening credits have a whole series of Doug Henning and great magicians. Were there any other magicians that were set to participate in it, or did you work with any other magicians to get the kids up to speed?
Well, I kind of put together a crack team because, there's so many different specialties in magic to wrap your head around and master. And I'm good. I'm a jack of certain trades,
But, like, the main character, you know, we kind of wrote this. They call it cardistry, which is when it's not like card tricks necessarily, but it's when you can kind of do all these crazy cuts and shuffles and it looks like, you know, like they're just watching, like, a beautiful choreographed dance. That's not my forte. So I put together a couple dudes who are the best magicians in the world to teach him that cardistry just so that he didn't look like a dingus like me doing it.
So just,
and then just a couple guys with big illusions. Yeah.
So Jeffrey Tambor in the beginning breaks down the different categories of magic. Is that truly the way magic is broken down for professionals like illusion, restoration?
Yeah, they're
escape.
It was pretty spot on. You know, like there's seven different types of magic. So, you know, you can make something appear, disappear, float, teleport, levitate, change colors. Penetration is a whole genre of magic.
And adult story. Films.
So he was able to break it down. Yeah, so you kind of get a peek behind the curtain, which I think is nice. You kind of get to see a little bit of how the sausage is made.
All right, so when you went to Magic Camp, how long did you go for, and was it, you know, like a standard camp with cabins and lakes and woods and stuff?
100% standard camp. Huh. You do all the normal kid stuff, but I brought like 12 doves with me.
Is it?
So like I've got 12 doves next to my bunk.
Well, what kid doesn't bring doves to camp? Yeah.
Well, if you get hungry.
Yeah.
You never know.
So my impression was that it's almost like a real Hogwarts. Like it's, has a Harry Potter element to it. Was that what it was like?
It absolutely does. You know, in the movie, there's a funny line where they say, you know, at Magic Camp, you don't have to be afraid to be the weird one, because here we're all the weird ones.
Yeah.
You know? And it's true. Even the bullies are nerds, is a line in the movie, which I sadly could relate to. It's kind of Hogwarts-y, but what I love is, you know, Harry Potter movies are full of the CGI. Now You See Me, it's very CGI, and something about this feels like, you know, when you watch it, it feels attainable as a kid. I hope it inspires kids to want to take on magic, because it feels like something that is possible.
Yes. All right, what about Magic for Humans, which, by the way, your third season, that's out on Netflix, but you're going to be doing this at home. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, so I was supposed to be on tour all summer, and I'm itching. I really miss that connection with people and, you know, blowing their minds. So I've been experimenting with doing shows over Zoom for the past couple months, and it's incredible if you kind of restructure and
Did we lose him?
I think we lost him.
No, Justin, this is a trick.
Yeah. Oh, we lost you for a second, Justin. Go ahead.
He disappeared.
I'm back.
How do you do that?
No, I just miss performing. So I built a little like homemade studio in my dining room and put together a show that just plays really great over Zoom. So okay. It's kind of a fun experiment to give people anywhere in the world a chance to like sit down, have an one hour live show with their family, where it's interactive, like literally blow their minds, you know, through the screen, and kind of get that connection that I think we're all craving.
Yeah, so, and it's sold out for the next few weekends.
Yeah,
and
a bunch of the shows sold out really quick, and I think people are aching for, you know, something fun to do that's not just turning the TV on again.
Yeah, we just did. We had the comedian Bert Kreischer in town Sunday night, and there was a live-in drive-in. He did a comedy show basically in a drive-in sort of scenario. And you're right, people are chomping at the bit to get back to some sort of interaction, live entertainment. And so this is great. I don't know if we asked you, but are you seeing any signs of magic capability in the young one?
Oh, man, I'm seeing the opposite. It's like he's bullying me and making fun of me for being a magician.
Even
my son, he's 20 months years old, 20 months old, and he, you know, just kind of won't even watch a five-second trick finish. He's more concerned with balls or playing in the water or something. And but it's inspiring me at least to either be a better dad or a better magician or just pick a new career. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's you're perfectly suited for this, obviously. And there's all levels of inventiveness that are required to be a magician. So you're adapting. I wanted to ask you, David Blaine announced a stunt, which he hasn't done in a long time, this balloon. He's going to kind of a la Up float over, I guess, the East River in New York.
Yeah.
And did you see the description of what he's about?
I saw the description. It's like, I mean, I love it. I hope I don't cry like I did in Up, just watching him float away.
I hope it works and is a success. I mean, I love David. He never does the same thing twice. He always keeps people talking about him. He's a strange bird, but he's a brilliant man. So
yeah,
let's hope it's not too windy.
Yeah, right.
Don't blow it. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, listen, Justin, we'll point people in the direction for Magic for Humans at Home. Where's the best place to get all the details?
You can get tickets at justinwillman.com.
All right, awesome. justinwillman.com. All right, cool, man. Hopefully, in the very near future, we will see you back here in our studio again soon, sir.
Guys, I can't wait.
All right, man. Good to talk to you. Justin Willman, guys. Have a good one, man. Good luck with everything. He's great. He's excellent.
He really is.
All right, we have to take a break. We're going to do that very thing. Come back in just a moment. Don't forget that it's Tattoos Day today. That has returned. Text word TATTOO to 39333. You might win a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo Piercing. We'll be back in a moment.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
In a little bit, more tickets to see Struts. That show is tonight. Weather's cooperating wonderfully. 85 degrees, low humidity. You shall enjoy. We will have those tickets. Stay close. We have a few things we're going to give away. And we're going to do that right now with a lesson question. We're going to give away a digital download of Batwoman, the complete first season. If you can answer this question correctly. Nick, who once lived in L.A. and worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, has a new nickname. What is it? It was said quickly this morning. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know. It's also the name of a movie. All right. So Nick, who once lived in L.A. and worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, has a new nickname. What is it? 215-263-WMMR. If you were listening, you heard. Give us a call now. We're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. Let's get some stories, please. Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, Amber Heard catching backlash for an outfit she wore while visiting a mosque in Istanbul on Saturday. A local imam stressed they were not trying to be overly critical, but would have preferred she not wear her tube top, bikini bottom, and stiletto heels.
Yeah.
Hey!
Playful brother and sister trash talking on Instagram after Kim Kardashian quoted a line from Scarface, only to have brother Rob comment, quote, "Stop playing, you've never even seen Scarface." Kim immediately volleyed back saying, quote, "Why don't you shut your fat loser ass, dickhead?"
Oh my God.
Okay.
And finally, LeBron James gave an emotional speech to the cast and crew on the last day of shooting for the Space Jam reboot. James began to tear up, saying he had no idea what kept driving him on to do another Space Jam movie because the first one stunk.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty, let's go to the phones. Nick once lived in L.A., worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, has a new nickname, and what is that? And I'm going to go to, well, it's Nick who's on the line, see if he knows. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Nick, what is Nick's new nickname?
Jimmy Hollywood.
Jimmy, yes. And I said Nick three times.
Yes, you did.
Change, didn't I?
You got it in the nick of time.
Hang on, Nick. We're going to get your info, and we are going to give you a digital download of Batwoman, the complete first season. After Batman disappears, Gotham is in chaos and in need of a new savior. Enter Kate Kane, a dangerous and outspoken woman who must provide hope to the city as Batwoman. Own it now in digital, Blu-ray, and DVD. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! What the? All right, music news this morning brought to you by Blue...
Blue Emu?
No, oh. Burke Brothers. I almost said Blues Brothers Landscaping. We're on a mission to clean up your yard.
On a mission from God.
Burke Brothers Landscaping has an immediate need for an experienced hardscape foreman who wants to earn a competitive salary and work with the award-winning landscape design and build firm. For more information, visit BurkeBrothers.com. I'm having a problem with eyes translating to mouth.
and I just can't.
I can't
get it
see
right.
Without his.
I have my goddamn glasses on.
Maybe it's time to get that prescription rechecked.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to move on. Shinedown has broken a Billboard record. The band has the most number ones on the mainstream rock songs airplay chart. The Florida band's latest single, Atlas Falls, has become the 16th number one on the ranking.
That's an amazing record.
Yeah, they...
I mean, record, as in record.
They were previously tied...
I thought you were talking about record.
Yeah, not the record. Okay. Record. Yeah, the record.
They were previously tied with 3 Days Grace, who currently have 15 number ones. Brent Smith told Billboard, myself, Barry, Zach, and Eric are beyond humbled. Atlas Falls represents so many emotions, especially now. The success of this song would have never been achieved if it wasn't for the audience, the fans, family, and the people. Atlas Falls was released in 2020 after initially being recorded during the sessions for the group's 2012 album, Amaryllis.
We are humbled to Blues Brothers.
Yes. Linkin Park songs have been made available to listen while you play the popular rhythm game Beat Saber, which is a VR game. We have it. It is so much fun.
Is it fun?
It is a lot of fun, Steve. Yeah, you get kind of caught up in it.
That's probably the only one I haven't played then.
It's kind of like it's like a Dance Dance Revolution type of thing where you do things to the beat and you essentially have a lightsaber and these objects are coming at you and you have to slice them.
That's cool.
And you do it to the beat of the music, but it gets moving really fast. And it's pretty wild. So 11 of the band's tracks are in the game. The songs that are included in the game are Bleed It Out, Breaking the Habit, Faint, Giving Up, In the End, New Divide, Numb, One Step Closer, Paper Cut, Somewhere I Belong, and What I've Done. Apocalyptica's new single, Talk to Me, will feature special guest Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm. The Finnish cello rockers will release the track on Friday. Apocalyptica's latest studio album, called Cello, was their first completely instrumental album in 17 years. The project was released in January. And their previous albums have featured special guests, including Gavin Rossdale from Bush and Corey Taylor of Slipknot and Stone Sour. So Lizzie Hale lending her voice. Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong spoke candidly with his personal mental health, about his mental health issues, and revealed that he suffered a form of midlife crisis, but at the tender age of 20. He said, I didn't think I was going to live that long. It's something that's always been in my head, whether it's people dealing with PTSD or like everybody got a part of their brain that has a part of their brain that is neurotic or maybe even paranoid or bipolar or they have a personality disorder.
We talked about the phenomenon of the quarter life crisis a while back. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
a thing.
I think
it's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So he's just coming clean with all of it right now. Wolfgang Van Halen has recently taken a beating for a number of completely innocuous posts, which slam his music, his appearance, and especially the decision by his father and uncle Alex to replace Michael Anthony on bass when Van Halen reformed with David Lee Roth in 2007. Wolfgang had tweeted, just vacuumed my living room and couch cushions like I'm some kind of adult or something, which prompted a troll to post, who cares? You're just a nepotism freak.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Give the guy a break.
And he answered by writing, and then he corrected him because the guy wrote Y-O-U-R as opposed to Y-O-U apostrophe.
Right,
you are. So he corrected him on that. He said, insult me with proper grammar, please. Your mother would be very disappointed.
It's the worst when somebody insults you and they haven't made a mistake. And you're like, oh, there's nothing I can say.
Wish they made a mistake.
He says, also,
you think you're so smart.
Also, while we're on the topic, can anyone come up with some kind of insult that doesn't involve nepotism / living in the shadow / fat jokes? I feel like that horse has been dead for quite some time. I'm starting to feel like the people who hate me aren't very creative.
Is he of a more portly?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Wolfgang recently posted a string of tweets with no explanation designed to perhaps annoy or mock his followers. The tweets read, reply to this tweet if you're cool. Quoting doesn't count, you sneaky stinkers. Wow, nobody is going to reply to this tweet. Guess I'm the only cool one here. Oh, gosh, I'm just so cool. Look at how cool and not sad this is. And don't reply to this tweet if you're cool. So I don't know what that's all about.
Okay. Mm.
See, social media really can enrich your soul.
Sure, right? There's a story in Rolling Stone about a local guy named Pat Finnerty, 40-year-old Scranton native. He lives in Philly now, who's made his name in the area with some bands like OK Patty and the Money Notes and the Tom Petty Appreciation Band. He's been in Philly for the last 10 years or so, and he did this interesting thing where he did an Instagram Live show, if you will, and essentially it was the aim to get Dave Grohl to come on with him.
He called it a Grohl-a-thon.
And it worked.
Yes.
We're going to have him on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
I believe, to talk a little bit about it. But we have a little clip that we can play now.
Yeah, he stayed on for 9 hours.
He was going to do 24.
Yeah, yeah.
And it took 9 hours, and Dave got on with him. And we'll find out tomorrow how it all happened.
Right.
But here's a clip of them together.
No, so I have a bunch of friends over at my house right now, and we just opened this gigantic bottle of wine that I got for my 50th birthday 20 years ago.
Okay.
And this friend of mine, he's like, there's this thing going on right now. And he starts explaining to me. And I was like, yeah, let's wait a little while, and we'll call him later. We'll drink a bunch of wine. And then I'm like, how long have they been on? He's like, 9 hours. I'm like, we got to call him now. It's
been 9 hours. Dave, I appreciate it.
And then there was another clip when he wanted him to, the whole aim was for him to play Money for Nothing.
Right.
From Dire Straits, and to have Dave sing the Sting part, I Want My MTV. But it ended up Dave playing drums. And it was a little jam session they had. Is that what this next clip is?
This is just him doing the MTV, the part of Money for Nothing.
All right, here we go.
Now, the whole idea is that you to sing the Sting part on Money for Nothing.
Okay.
So I'm going to just play a G minor, right?
Yeah.
And then...
That's all you wanted?
And they got him to do it. So
yeah.
Pretty awesome story, and we will talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah, so I've been corresponding with him, and he actually, I believe he jams or plays in a band with, you guys remember Elise Brown?
I do, yeah, yes.
So her husband is
at MMR.
Yeah, her husband is a drummer. His name's Patrick Berkery. He actually has played with the War on Drugs. And so so I guess he is in a band with this other guy named Patrick as well. And so we were kind of going back and forth, and we'll get this guy on tomorrow. It's kind of cool. I mean,
it's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, to do something like that, creative, and reach out.
These things just don't happen.
No.
Yeah.
Right. And then one last thing. MMR rocks Seether Locked and Live. It's an exclusive live stream concert and album release show. And it's coming up on Sunday, August 30th at 3 p.m. And they're celebrating the highly anticipated release of the 8th studio album, Si Vis Pacem Parabellum. If you want peace, prepare for war. So that's what that means.
We know that from John Wick.
We did?
Yeah.
Well, I know there's an album called Parabellum, or I mean a movie called Parabellum.
No,
but
they spell it out in no uncertain terms.
Prepare for war?
Prepare for war if you want peace.
Ticket packages on sale now at seether.veeps.com, and you can listen to Sarah all this week, who's in for Jackson, and your chance to win some tickets. And speaking of winning tickets, I got the last set right now.
Yeah.
Struts tonight in concert. And if you are caller number 27, you get the tickets. Good for four people, by the way. It's one car, maximum of four people, and you get to rock out in the comfort of your own vehicle. So let's get you on board right now. Caller number 27, 215-263-WMMR. It is yours. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Get ready to wrap it. I'll tell you about the Word of the Week prize. We also got to give away our Tattoos Day prize, too. So stay there.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Nick Perry and the Underground Thieves. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
You know, the Happy Days is being shown on MeTV at 6:30 in the evening.
I saw yesterday as I was flipping through channels and Happy Days was on. I didn't bring myself to click on it, though.
Maybe stick with that.
Yeah. Oh, really? Listen, all those shows that I hold so dear from my childhood, I know.
Yeah.
For the most part, if I went back and watched, I'd be like, what was I thinking?
I'll tell you what.
But that
still
was the entertainment at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Vernon Shirley. Yeah. That is aged well.
Okay.
But there's a lot of, listen, I'll always love the show, yeah, Happy Days, but it's best to, you know.
Yeah. One time I had seen it might have been, I looked on YouTube, but it was an episode of Chico and the Man.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
I used to watch that all the time.
I did, too, and I loved it as a kid. It was Freddie Prinze.
Yeah, and Jack Albertson.
Yeah, and I remember looking at the production going, this is horrible.
It just looks terrible. Yeah. I mean, really, with Happy Days, what gets me, and my wife really never watched it, and we watch, I still check it out and put it on, but every event of any kind all took place at the diner.
Yeah.
Concerts.
Yep.
Graduations.
All of it.
Instead of just building, they didn't even need to build a second set. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Everything took place in the diner.
They were either at the house or
the diner.
The diner.
Yeah. Or sometimes they would go to Howard's or hardware store. What was
very
it?
Very rarely.
Yeah. And sometimes they would be in, who do you call it? Fonzie's apartment.
That was upstairs. It. Yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of those shows had a basic set. All in the Family.
Right.
I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
I mean, they had
very
a centerpiece,
so. Mm-hmm.
You know, living room or office space or, you know.
But you wouldn't see, like they wouldn't perform, we were talking about the Joey Stivics, the Baby's Bris at Al's Diner, you know.
This is true.
Yeah, they did all the events at Al's.
Everything.
Dude, he was probably raking it in. That guy was really so
I mean, Casey, weddings. Concerts,
yeah.
Talent searches,
rallies,
yep. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yep. Yeah, he was the manja of Happy Days.
He truly was.
God, that was Pat Morita too, wasn't
no,
it?
Well, and then, first
and
it was Al,
and then eventually Al Del Vecchio. Yeah.
It was Al first, and then Pat Morita.
Arnold's.
That's okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Hi, Pierre.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Real quick, I want to thank Justin Willman for being on the show this morning. Magic for Humans at Home. He's a really great guy. Very, very funny. I also want to thank Dietzim Watson and Linden Italian Market for bringing by the goodies today.
And the food is sensational.
You can get your takeout order today from your local Real Philly Deli and support local businesses. Dietzim Watson, it's a family thing since 1939. And Linden Italian Market is in Northeast Philly. They are open for takeout, and you can taste four generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local businesses, realphillydeli.com. So thank you once again. Oh, and also I do want to mention Ben Hartranft, who is on. Young man, has autism, super energetic guy. He is doing this fundraiser at Rita's in Montgomeryville on Friday from 6 to 9, benefiting the Eagles Autism Challenge. And he's doing his podcast show, his Ben and Jay show, and they're doing a fundraiser.
Good for him.
Stop by and help out if you can. How was your week? Or wait, yeah, I would say weekend. Yeah, did you work yesterday? We were off yesterday.
I did work, yes.
Okay.
But I love the best Preston and Steve because I either hear pieces that I remember or new pieces. And yesterday, about this time, was the chewed pen investigation.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And
Jackie.
As usual, Marissa does such a marvelous job of putting some of these things together. But the whole investigation and every air staff member called in saying, no, it wasn't me. It was. And then eventually the culprit was found, who was tall.
And we found his stash of pens. It was like a dog hiding his bones.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was now, like under the carpet.
Thing is, apparently Jackie now comes in with this shield on that he doesn't take off, in addition to the gloves. And this is a pretty safe place, but he's a little nervous. So, all right, everybody's got their own level of comfort. But
sure.
Does
he wear a face shield?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
he
that's
does.
What
okay.
I mean.
Okay.
In addition to the mask, he's wearing now a face shield and gloves, and they've pretty much shown that gloves, all it really does is spread stuff around. It really doesn't do much to assist you, but if you feel more comfortable, so be it.
All right, so he texts you every day, probably?
Oh, yes, and 7 times a day.
Okay. So he's been doing this thing lately where he just texts me random pictures, right? And I guess he knows I like football, but he'll send me a picture of, like, a guy on the Chicago Bears from, like, 1977 with, like, No reference to anything. Right. Yeah.
This guy was on the Bears in 1977.
Yeah. Oh, Case, I get the pictures with no reference all the time.
And all right, so what are yours?
Mine was a screenshot of my best friend because she posted on Instagram.
Okay.
So I guess he wanted to make sure I saw it. I'm not sure. but I do have a present for Jackie that I brought home from him. Yes. So I think he's going to be pretty excited when he gets it. You know how Jackie gets if you call him or text him or...
Yeah.
Bring him a present.
Should we present it to him on the air or something?
No, he knows what it is. So in Montauk, there is the Memory Motel, which the Rolling Stones apparently stayed at or wrote a song at or something. It's some connection.
A great Stone song, Memory Motel.
That's got to be it.
So he, I get him a t-shirt maybe like every other year. So there was a new t-shirt out. So wow. I got it for him.
Nice.
So cool. Anyway, it was fun.
Nice.
He texts me. He sends me pictures of 45s.
Okay.
From 19, you know.
Sure.
57. He sends me stuff too. I've forgotten what he sends.
I kind of love the stuff he sends.
I love it.
It's almost like a bizarre psychological test.
Yeah.
When you look at this picture, what do you see?
Rorschach.
Yeah.
Rorschach. Anyway. Yeah. Letter.
Yeah, let's do the letter. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
L as in letter.
All right, and you have four of those letters to keep track of. And we are going to give away on Friday a Mermaid Spirits Distillery basket with six bottles of their products.
Wow.
And over $100 in distillery merch, including, and stick with me, this is a lot of copy here, logo pint glasses, Len Karen whiskey tasting glasses, a logo hoodie, and more. Six total bottles, including each of their three distinctive styles of rum, their trademark Forbidden Drive vodka, McComish single malt American whiskey, and their D.B. Johnston straight bourbon perfect neat or on the rocks with the mermaids. Must be at least 21 years of age to win. Located in Huntington Valley at the intersection of Davisville and County Line Road. Visit mermaidspirits.com for all things mermaid. Enjoy responsibly. Direct shipping available throughout Pennsylvania.
You're going to be pretty set up with that.
Yeah, definitely. So we will give that away on Friday, which is all good. Yes.
Couple of things. First of all, Preston made me a drum solo. which is absolutely brilliant, and you put it on your Twitter.
Yes.
And he took the sign-off that I that you guys – it wasn't intended as a sign-off, but the phrase.
No, not that one.
The other one. Good to have you on bebop, da-ba, ga-ga-ga-ga, wa-ba-ba.
Hey, everybody's going to have you on the – good to have you on the ba-ba, tu-da-ba, ta-ba-ba, ba-do-ga-ga, bop-it-up.
I can't say it.
I know you can't.
Even though I said it. And Preston did a drum, an accompanying drum piece to it. It's absolutely brilliant. So I'm going to re-Twitter that.
Oh, thank you.
It's just so cool. Thank you for that.
I appreciate that.
Secondly of all, I just wanted to ask you about how Bert Kreischer went, because I'm hosting the Struts tonight. And so I'm curious, did you guys go on stage?
Yes.
I'll
explain how it works, because we were a little confused about that as well. Because as people are sitting in their cars, they have their radio on. There's a special FM frequency that they can hear it through in the parking lot only. And the microphone that you'll get goes directly to that. But we got up on the stage to talk to people. And Steve and I did several announcements. We were there a couple hours ahead of time. So it takes a while for those cars to get in and get in place. Right. So as they're arriving, we would get up and make announcements and tell people, you know, the rules and things to expect. And we also promoted some stuff about the show and so on. And there are monitors on the stage, but there wasn't like a big booming sound system that goes out into the crowd. You hear it on your radio.
Wow.
So
I'll tell you, the setup, though,
Preston,
they
can hear you. They can hear you just fine. Oh, the stage is
the fantastic. Stage is excellent. They really raised it up high, so it's good. You'll walk around and see a lot of our friends from Live Nation and stuff. It has a really solid concert feel. And Preston, you'll agree, we were really impressed with how they have it done.
So when he's actually, when he was doing his bit and when the band, are you saying there's no public address system? So
there's a little bit.
There's no big PA system, no.
Okay.
Yeah. There's, wow. I mean, when I got out of my car and walked over to go to the bathroom, I couldn't really hear exactly what Bert was saying. Now, I could hear it coming out of other people's cars.
Fascinating.
But that's the way it's supposed to.
Right.
That's how they've got it set up.
Right.
And it sounded great.
See, because as I had Luke Spiller on last week to talk about the change date, which is tonight, and some tickets still remain, And the thing is, he's such a he gets a crowd so involved. I said, you might have it. This is their first one of these that they're doing tonight. I said, it might be a slight challenge for you to not have everybody jump up and down and then sit down and then left side sing and right side sing.
Right. But we could hear the crowd applauding laughing. Okay. So you hear the reaction from the crowd.
Excellent.
So they'll get that feel for it.
I didn't know if people honked their horn or flashed their lights.
They were encouraged to not honk their horns because this was, you know, a comedy show and Bert's talking. It's dialogue.
Right.
So you flash your lights. Okay. For applause. But I don't know what they're going to do music-wise. I don't know if they'll encourage horn honking or not.
They have pre-thought everything as far as that. And so we're saying, and you may want to encourage, Pierre, if they're coming down, if you can come down with one of your friends, if they have a convertible or a pickup truck or something that allows, like a van that opens up at the back that allows that. It was really kind of a cool, chill feeling, right, Preston, with the people just relaxing having a good time.
I'm so glad it went well. So on the program today, we've got a block of the Struts for the live-in drive-in. Brent Porsche and I will be there this evening, and we'll be calling into Jackie Bam Bam. We got Workforce Blocks of Linkin Park and Janis Joplin, and it's Double Shot Tuesday.
By the way, if you are going to that show, we do have a list of tips for you heading to the show. Oh, cool. You can go to WMMR.com and get that information. Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve's show has been brought to you today by Dunkin'. You can... by the way, the official coffee of the President Steve Show. Also brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and brought to you by Wilmington University. Oh, and congratulations, by the way, to our Tattoos Day winner.
Uh-huh.
And that is James Koch, who is from Boothwyn, Pennsylvania. Won a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And they are located at 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. If you want some artwork samples, you can visit them at floatingworldtattoos.com or go to @floatingworldtattoos on Instagram. Tomorrow on our program is a Wednesday. Fox Good Day. We'll do that. We'll have a secret text word. Big J Okerson is checking in after his little incident last week.
We want to hear all about that.
And comedian Roy Wood Jr., as well as we're going to get the guy, Pat Finnerty, who had that little hook up with Dave Grohl on as well. So those things and more. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
My name's Todd. Todd Rock Dingle. And I'm taking poop in your bed. Not just any poop. A big puke. Because, well, I love you.
Next message.
Man, what a great comedy show. That was a great invention. Whoever thought of it, it was awesome. Preston and Steve rocks.
Next message.
If you pour in front of me, I don't want any of that. Oh, well, I'm going to slow down now because I'm in front of you now. So, haha. No, you speed up. If you pour in front of me, go!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.